is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked.
It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there.
McCoy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Buffalo, our One Buffalo studio. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined this first hour by Steve Tasker, longtime Bills special teams ace from the NFL on CBS. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What up, though?
Hey, how you doing? How's everybody doing?
Good, good.
Donald, thanks for taking care of the show yesterday. You and Brownie handled it, right,
when
I was out sick?
We handled it, you know. Yeah. Hopefully you're getting better.
I'm getting better, I guess, slowly. Yeah, a little bit slowly.
Did you get a flu shot?
I did not, Steve. I probably should have, huh?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
But they said that this flu shot this year didn't necessarily take care of the flu that was out there.
I hung around you for about a week or two, and I didn't get it, so I'm thinking it worked.
Maybe it worked.
It's crazy.
You're like Typhoid Mary.
I didn't get a flu shot, and you've been hanging around you, and I've been all right, you know. We were out in...
Our immune system's up to snuff, not like Murph's.
I have no defense. I've been sick for a month.
I felt bad.
He had us taking random trips to CVS
for
Vicks and new socks.
That's right. Last week. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I need some new socks.
I tried the Vicks. As people say, was that last week in Indy? People were saying,
we had to go in the store and ask somebody.
I will say, you look
better.
That's
where the Vicks.
Then you look better than
yesterday.
Than like last. I haven't been in for like a
couple weeks.
For a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you look healthy now.
I'm getting there. Slowly getting there. Yeah. Hopefully I don't cough my way through the show. It's good to be back. Good
show. That's
typically
how it happens, though. You're good until we get on the show. And then
I'll be all right.
All right.
You know what? One of the reasons I'm back today is I like the lineup. I traded a text with our producer, Jay Harris, early this morning.
So is that why you took off yesterday?
Said, well, that's a heck of a show. I'm going to – no. Yesterday I had no choice. But today we got a good lineup. We got Steve in here for the first hour of the show. Frank Reich, your former teammate, Indianapolis Colts head coach.
Is he calling in?
1 o'clock today. Frank's going to be with us.
Good for him.
We were supposed to get him a couple of times last week at the Combine in Indy, and both times he got tied up with stuff. Right? I mean,
that's a busy man. He won the Super Bowl, got a new head coaching gig. I mean, and we were trying to get him during the actual guys on the field.
Thursday,
that just was
Friday.
Not going to happen.
No.
You know,
the good news is I saved my questions from Frank from last week. Wrote them down last week. I still have them.
Yeah, because last week you're like, we'll get him on at some point.
Yeah.
I was smart.
I was hanging out with some of the old guys over this weekend, and we had a couple of conversations. They've got this big idea. They're going to go down for one of Frank's games in Indianapolis.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Hit him up for some tickets, go to the game. But he's neck deep in it, and you know he's just – there's so much that crosses a head coach's desk that even if you're a coordinator, assistant head coach, it's hard to get a handle on how much he has.
Yeah.
So I'm – he's starting to get, I think, on top of it now because some of the other guys, he's reached out to a couple of them saying, hey, thanks for the text, you know, back when I got the job, that kind of thing. So he's that far behind on returning texts and stuff like that.
I talked to him last week a little bit. We didn't get him on the show, but I talked to him, and he had media obligations to do at the Combine, but he was also over there, you know, watching players and spending some time there. And I said, is your staff all set? His staff is all set now.
Yeah.
Has it settled in for him?
Yeah, I think so. He just purchased a home last week. His wife, Linda, was coming up to check out the home that they had purchased. So he's getting settled in a little bit.
Yeah, and it's good for him, and that's why when Josh McDaniels, you know, reneged on the job, I knew right away Frank was going to get that job. Just because he was an assistant there. He started his pro coaching career there. He knows the city. He knows the ownership. He knows the structure. He knows the atmosphere. He knows the building. That was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
It's going to work out well. Frank is with us today at 1. Albert Breer from mmqb.si.com. You know him. Used to be with the NFL Network. Albert Breer is going to be with us at 2. Kind of go over what went down last week at the Combine. The quarterback situation as it stands, some of the other issues. So we got a pretty good show here, Steve, and we got stuff going on today, too, here at One Bills Drive. But I want to get to, before we get to that, you spent last week, if you're okay talking about it, with some of your old Super Bowl teammates.
Yeah.
Huh?
What is the name you have for the group?
You know, the Five Presidents.
Five Presidents.
Five Presidents. But, you know, we have this trip. We did it a couple of years ago, and we did it again. We went out to Napa, and Bruce Smith sets it up, and Bruce and his wife, and Cornelius and his wife, and Daryl Talley and his wife, and Thurman and his wife, and me and my wife, and Chris Moore and his wife, and of course, as we all know, Jim was supposed to be there as well, and we reached out to him and talked with him. He was planning on being there, and then obviously couldn't because of the diagnosis he got over the week. But all you know, obviously Jim was the center of our conversation while we were out there. But we also had a lot of laughs and a lot of fun, and we're planning on doing it again actually in the next few months.
That's gone out a couple times, right, with that group?
Yeah, yeah, they do. It's happened before, yeah.
A little bit,
and it'll happen again. Yeah, we go out, and Bruce is the guy who sets it up or helps Bruce set it up is a sommelier named Mark Trotter, and he is
the most the man.
He's the man. Yeah, he is the most knowledgeable wine person I have ever met. Wow. He takes us through and sets up the tours and the wine tastings and stuff, and we go out. It's just a lot of fun.
When you go, because I have an issue when I go to wineries, especially good wineries, and then you come back home and you might just be out somewhere and you want to order, some wine, but then you're like, this is not really, really doing it for me.
Well, we were going to these wineries. They don't even give tastings. I mean, they don't even, their wine's already sold and it's not even, they're still in the barrel.
Yeah.
And they've already sold all of it. So we get in, we went to a place, David Arthur and, David Archer's son, who now runs the, was in there with us, stealing sips off the barrels, and stuff. We were laughing, and it was pretty cool. And plus, I don't know if anybody else has been. It's an unbelievable region.
Oh my,
yeah,
it's an unbelievable region.
What's the weather like out there now?
It was rainy when we were there, which is normal for this time of year for them. But it was, the scenery is spectacular. The vibe out there is really neat. And some of the places we went to have facilities for entertaining people that are just spectacular. Huh. So, and of course, being with the five presidents, we got treated pretty well.
Are there more than five in the five?
Yeah. Okay. It's a loose knit group. And there's a few core guys like Bruce, Jim Thurman.
Jim Thurman.
Andre was supposed to be with us, and he pulled the ripcord on us.
He was at a pork rinds convention.
something more That's important, so right? something that was putting money in his pocket rather than having
exactly.
him spend it.
I don't want to go spend it.
But Cornelius is also a core member, and Daryl and Janine.
Now, do you have any randoms that might pop in every now
me.
And then.
Chris Moore was part of it this year. He had a blast, so they'll be doing it more now that once you find out how cool it is and how fun it is, people are. It may expand too, and they were laughing because, Bruce and Thurman and those guys, they go to the Hall of Fame every year. They go back. They're really good Hall of Famers, and a lot of guys don't go back to the Hall of Fame, and they go back, and a lot of the other guys who have been in the Hall of Fame for a while or not, from our era, really notice how close-knit our crew is.
Yeah.
And so there's even talk about having some of those guys join us as well. So we had a chance that we were going to go over to one of the other Hall of Famers. They live out in Napa, and then he got a leak, and it was raining so hard his roof started leaking. He said, "You can't come over." so we couldn't go over to this. But, stuff like that. It's fun, and it's it still amazes all. We talk about it. It still amazes all of us how close we've been able to maintain our relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 25 years since y'all played together.
Yeah, and it's been 30 since we began playing with each other.
Wow. People always ask me, "What do you miss the most?" Or first of all, they say, "Do you miss playing?" And I'm like, "Not really." But then they say, "Well, what do you miss the most about playing?" And I'm like, "My boys that I met from college, from here in the NFL, is those relationships. It's different than." Really any other job. I don't want to say any other job, but from most jobs, because you're not in the same building with that person all day, every day. Like all day, every day. You go to training camp where you're sleeping in the same dorm with that person. You build different bonds. You travel together, all of this stuff, all the time. And so you're kind of secluded from the world in certain parts of the season. And so all you have is each other.
Yeah, you think about it. You kind of physically hurt together, and that's a real bonding thing. Right? Mm-hmm. When you suffer through a training camp or a bad game or a bad stretch or a practice where it's pouring rain or all of that stuff, and you kind of hurt together. And then also, there isn't another business. And I don't, you just got to say, there's no other business where you get dressed and undressed and you walk to the locker room. You're walking around each other butt naked, trying to get to the shower, and you're laughing at each other. Mm-hmm. With the night clothes on, and you're just and you're in there getting taped, and you're walking around in a jock strap, getting your ankles taped, and you're laughing and about stuff that's all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an intimate atmosphere,
right.
And if it goes on long enough, and you have enough success and enough heartaches, and you suffer through it together, and you spend enough time together, it doesn't go away.
I keep thinking when you talk like that about my friend Alex Van Pelt. I've told you the story. He gets off the playing field as a quarterback with the Bills.
Did you guys see each other naked?
Let me get the story. Okay. All right. He's doing his first game on the radio with us. He was a color man on the Bills radio broadcast. And first words out of his mouth, preseason game, I said, Alex, welcome to the broadcast. I'm sure you're going to miss playing, huh? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, Murph, I'm really going to miss showering with all the guys. First words out of his mouth as a broadcaster.
There you go. But it is a different atmosphere. It's a unique atmosphere. And that's and all the – and. Now, we were right at the end. This crew that we're talking about here in Buffalo that was so good in the early 90s, we were good for a long period of time because there was no free agency up until the early 90s.
Right.
And we didn't lose anybody, so we were kind of stuck together for that amount of time.
Did you get any golf in? We got this tweet in.
None.
None?
None.
Because of the rain?
We were going to. We were going to have a charity event. Bruce was going to set up, but there were too many challenges and scheduling. And it became one obstacle after another, and we just decided to leave the clubs at home, which was better because it was pouring rain for two of the 3 days we were there.
What a great trip, though, you know?
It was very nice, and it was a little bit of a, you know, Jim wasn't there. Jim and Jill weren't there, which stunk. But we did reach out to them, and they were, you reach out to them
sure.
and text them, send them pictures and stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, so we're all concerned about Jim, but, you know, we're going to reach out and touch base with him on
sure.
our own each.
Yeah. We'll talk to Frank a little bit about his former teammate, Jim Kelly, too. Frank Reich joining us today at 1 o'clock, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. All right, John Murphy, Donald Jones, Steve Tasker here at One Bills Drive. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. And there is news today. The Bills agreed to terms with running back Chris Ivory, who they had in for a visit a couple of weeks ago. Now they've announced they've agreed to terms with Chris Ivory, the running back, a two-year contract. NFL Network reports it's worth $5.5 million in base salary, $3.25 million guaranteed, can be worth up to $6 million max, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Jacksonville just cut Ivory last month, 2 years there. He was a complimentary back, and when Leonard Fournette arrived on the scene this past year, Chris Ivory really had his playing time diminish. Inactive the final two games of 2017, he saw one carry that came against the Bills in their playoff run. Chris Ivory, 223 pounds, different style of backup running back than that Shady McCoy's really had. I think an upgrade from where they were last year, if you count Mike Tolbert or anybody else as the backup running back. And an interesting signing, fellas. I find this pretty interesting to go out and get. He'll be 30 years old in 2 weeks, so he's not young. And you would have to say that, you know, his best days are probably behind him. But as a backup, as a changeup to Shady McCoy, I find this a very, very interesting signing.
Donald, yeah, his best days are behind him, but he's a physical, bruising type of running back. And I think, like you're saying, as a backup, he's going to be able to give you something. As a changeup, obviously, to LeSean McCoy, the Bills have played against him a couple times, and he's had pretty good games against the Bills. Not this, you know, past season, in the playoffs, but last year he had a pretty good game, and then he got hurt, and he went out, and that was when the Bills kind of took over that game. But I like the signing. I still think they'll end up drafting one somewhere late in the draft, later in the draft, fifth round and beyond. But I think this is a good signing. I think it's a change-up to LeSean McCoy, and it's something that they needed. Last year, you know, no knock on Mike Tolbert or anything like that, but I don't think, at least for my money, they didn't get what we all wanted from the backup position out of Mike Tolbert, and I think this is a slight upgrade over Mike Tolbert, and he'll be able to give you a lot.
Yeah, he's a better athlete than Tolbert. I mean, mm-hmm. Tolbert's a bigger physical specimen and probably could give you something at fullback if you mm-hmm. got into a pinch. But Ivory's a tailback. He's got more shifty in him.
Right.
And he's had a pretty good career. I remember the Bills have played him a bunch when he was with the Jets mm-hmm. And, of course, in Jacksonville. But when he was playing a lot for Jacksonville until they got Leonard Fournette. And, right. and Leonard Fournette is the real deal. He's going to be the bell cow. And let's face it, that's what the Bills want here, too. They want Shady to be the guy.
Right.
And if they need somebody to come in, and if Shady goes down with an angle, they need a guy like Chris Ivory to come in, start a couple games for him if they have to, and not force Shady to play when he's not 100%.
You know, and let's be honest, as you're talking about that, when the Bills went into the playoff game, that week leading up, it was like, oh, man, we're not sure if Shady is going to be able to play. And you didn't know what you were going to get from the backup running back position, and it was like, okay, you know – this team is 31st in passing, so you know you're going to have to run the ball against this defense that is pretty good against the run, and you just didn't know what. Now, Shady ended up obviously having a good game, But you can't go into every game and you can't rely just on Shady. Yeah, he's your number one guy. But if he goes down, which this is football, he's getting a little bit older. He's getting a year older. You got to have somebody behind him. You see all the teams have these running back by committees. It's not. I don't think it's going to be a running back by committee. But you need to have somebody who you can rely on if LeSean McCoy goes down.
I think it's a really interesting signing. And that combined with Vontae Davis, whom they signed last week, was that? Yeah.
Right?
Last
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, and you had him on the show yesterday, Don, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think of him, by the way? What was your impression?
Oh, really good personality. I had a chance to speak with Lorenzo Alexander about him. He knows, not knows him personally, but knows the family. So he said he's a really good guy. They both fit really into the culture and what they're trying to build here. Talking to him yesterday, you know, we got off onto the whole reality TV thing, and we joked about that a little bit. But I think as a player, Vontae is going to be a good player here on the outside as long as he's healthy. And I think he's going to teach Tre'Davious White a lot about being a corner and playing at a Pro Bowl level, you know. And Tre'Davious had a pretty good year, but now you got to sustain that. And we all know that first to second year is the hardest. It's kind of like the hardest year to really sustain that good play, especially when you played as good as Tre'Davious did. Now the expectations are like, we expect you all pro every year.
Yeah.
And so he has to teach him how to, or at least help to make sure that he maintains that level of play on the field.
Yeah, that's the important thing, because when you get in there as a rookie and you have a pretty good year, mm-hmm. you kind of think, okay, I'm good enough to play. Well, right. That's not the idea. The idea is, how am I going to get better? I got to up my game now. My second year, I was good last year. I surprised a lot of people. Got all those picks. I got to be better this year. Mm-hmm. That's the mentality you got to get a first year player to. And some of them don't quite get that. They say, I'm good enough is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the atmosphere you live in the NFL.
The signing of Chris Ivory today and the signing of Vontae Davis last week, I find interesting, the two of them. And that really, that's our Twitter poll today. We want you to weigh in on this on the telephone line or on Twitter. 803-0550 is the number to call if you'd like to join us on the phone line, or toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Two free agent signings already. Davis last week, Ivory today. What do these moves say about the Bills' offseason approach? What, if anything, do you take from it? On Twitter, that's Twitter poll. We got a couple of options for you on Twitter. 45% of you think that these two signings show a smart, targeted approach to free agency for the Bills. 30% of you say they're going to be aggressive in free agency. 23% say these two signings, a cornerback and now backup running back, allows them to focus on quarterback and front seven in the draft. 2% have something else in mind. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. I would say all of that. When I look at it, you know, I think it's aggressive to go sign guys before, you know, free agency doesn't even open for another 8 days, really. You can't sign anybody until a week from tomorrow. So it's aggressive, you know, finding guys on the street. I think they're targeted position-wise, Vontae Davis and Chris Ivory, guys who have played in the league. They're veteran guys, targeted at positions where they need help at corner. Obviously, you don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think that they're going to spend a lot of money on E.J. Gaines and backup running back where they had a need last year. And I think it does allow them to look at quarterback and front seven in the draft, which are also two pretty important areas.
For me, all of those make sense, and I'll get into each one of them. But for me, I want to ask you guys this.
Yes, sir.
Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean always talk about changing the culture here. Do you feel like they're changing the perception of the organization, the outside, you know, the players? Because you're talking about guys, both of these guys have taken tours of teams and decided to come here to Buffalo. And in the past, it was like, I don't know if I want to go to Buffalo. Now, I know as a player talking to other players, they're like, phew, it's tough to go to Buffalo, especially when the team is not winning. All you hear about if you've never been here is snow and things like that. So I don't know. The organization for a long time, you were going head coach to head coach to head coach,
the
different coordinators.
Drought.
Right, the playoff drought. And you're like, I don't know if I want to go to Buffalo. But now it seems like they're changing that perception, and they're able to get these players to sign when these guys are taking tours of 5 and 6 teams.
Yeah.
It says a lot. And it also says that the type of guy that they're looking for recognizes that where they're going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're right. You said it just a minute ago. These guys probably fit into the culture really well. They're veteran guys who have, for lack of a better way, survived in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
They've managed to put together a very nice career. They're both, 8-year vets now. And plus, when they're street free agents like these guys are, these were both released – they're the right price. I mean, they're the right price. They're quality guy. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get a dependable. You may not get a spectacular. You know,
right?
They're not going to turn into Tre'Davious White and pull down and be in the conversation for Defensive Rookie of the Year or MVP or anything like that. But you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. And they're the kind of guys you can depend on to be in the right spot, run the right offense, you know, do all the little things that get them ready to play. And that's the kind of culture, I think, and they're the perfect kind of thing that fit right in, that mm-hmm. does fit right in with what they're trying to build here. And I think it does speak a little bit to the progress that's been made since they took over, you know, over a year ago.
Yeah, I think getting rid of the playoff drought removes that as an obstacle, right? Obviously, you don't come here and say, geez, this team hasn't been in the playoffs in 18 years, 17 years. No, that's gone, right? The team can make the playoffs. I think that's part of it. And I agree with this team. I'm curious. I don't know either of these players. Never met either one of them. Donald, you had some kind of background with Vontae mm-hmm. Davis. Came in the same year, right? Mm-hmm. Played against him. Yeah. Do they fit the character, the culture they're trying to build here? Or I wonder if McDermott and Bean feel like, all right, we've laid the groundwork for the type of team we want to have. We're going to add some parts here that might just sort of meld into what we're doing here, regardless of whether they're, you know, the exact type of culture or player they want.
I think, Vontae, I've heard a lot about his character. And just speaking to him yesterday on the phone, you could hear that upbeat tone in his voice. He's happy about coming here. And he was like, look, when I sat down and spoke with them, I toured five different teams. I was going to a different team every week. But when I sat down and spoke with them, there was something that made me feel like that's the place I want to be. Something about the culture and the things that they said to me. And it's not even about playing. You know, you're going to come here and start. It's not even about the money, which, yeah, that's a big part of it. Let's not kid ourselves. But at the end of the day, he said it was something about sitting down, speaking to them, and what they're trying to build there. And I want to come there and be a part of that, especially on the back end of that defense that played so well last year. I want to be a part of that. And so I think Chris Ivory probably feels the same way, and this is a great opportunity for him as he Leonard Fournette came over and really just took over everything, and they were giving him the ball 25, 30 times a game. He wasn't getting anything, which is why he was released. So I'm sure he feels like you got the culture, you got the fact that they made it into the playoffs, but that's a great opportunity for me to go there and be the backup running back to a great LeSean McCoy, knowing that I'm going to be able to go in there and really change up the style of play, and I'll get maybe 10 carries a game or something like that, 5, 6, 7 carries, and I got to just do what I got to do at a good price. For him, I'm pretty sure. For Vontae, I'm pretty sure. And both of those guys probably, even though they're on the back end of their careers, they feel like this is an opportunity for me to really prove that I still have something left in the tank.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because Chris Ivory's got to know what he's walking into.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Vontae knows they've got a spot at corner for him.
Right.
He's going to step
he's
in.
He's a starter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Chris Ivory knows he's not.
Right.
You know, but he still knows that he's going to be able to contribute, and they've got a role for him, mm-hmm. and he's still embraced it. So it says a lot about, you know, the wisdom of them at this point in their career.
Right.
So. Want to hear from you. What do you think of those two signings today? Chris Ivory, last week Vontae Davis, 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter. You can vote in our Twitter poll about these or let us know what you think. A couple of tweets on this, Dom tweets, and I'll say this. With Bean making so many free agent moves and filling holes already, it makes me wonder what Bean is going to do with all those draft picks. Right. I think that's part of it. I mean, yeah. They have freed themselves up now to spend a draft pick on need areas, real need areas, front seven defensively, and quarterback. I still think quarterback very much in play, especially after watching some of those quarterbacks last weekend at the combine.
You know what I was thinking at that combine last week? What happens if – and I'm going to start talking about stuff. We have no idea what's going to happen. But I think Cleveland right now – if you're the Browns, you got to think, you know what, why don't we take Saquon Barkley at one,
mm-hmm.
knowing you're going to get Rosen, Darnold.
Or Mayfield.
Allen, or even
Lamar Jackson.
You got five of those guys. You're going to get one of those. You're going to get the top one of the top three because you have the fourth pick.
One and four.
Yeah.
They're going to get the top three pick.
Yeah.
You know, so they can take Saquon Barkley, who's the best player.
Right.
Yes.
Get him at one. And then take their whatever quarterback falls to them. That's what's going to happen, maybe.
Unless they fall in love with the quarterback.
I feel like you can't pass up on Saquon Barkley. And people will say you can't take a running back that high. That dude is a beast. And if you get him, you're not going to be able to get him at four. If you pass up on Saquon Barkley and you really love him,
he won't be there for him.
He will not be there
for him. And listen, Cleveland can do a ton of stuff. They've got so much draft capital. Mm-hmm. They say, listen, we're taking Saquon Barkley at one. Which quarterback would you take? And they'd say, well, we like this guy. That's fine. We don't want him. We want this other guy. So let's flip with us, the Giants or whatever. We'll flip with you at four. We'll take your two. We'll get the top two. We'll take the, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that can go on.
Yeah.
Because those quarterbacks come in play because of Saquon Barkley and how good he looked and how much of a difference maker he can be. Plus, you know, it seems like he's a tremendous guy.
Yeah.
You're not gonna. He's not going to be a bust.
No.
And if so, quarterback, you know, still don't know if
they need. They need a quarterback with Saquon Barkley. If they do not get a quarterback, the right quarterback, then he could end up a bust because then they're truly going to run him into the ground. I think they're going to give him the ball a lot anyway, but they need to hit on one of these quarterbacks. If they take him, they need to hit on a guy, and hopefully that guy turns into the true franchise quarterback where they don't have to just rely on Saquon Barkley because it's going to shorten his career. I don't know what their offensive line situation is like, but it's going to be a situation like Leonard Fournette. And you got to ask yourself, if you're Leonard Fournette, how long can you play and just run into a brick wall every single game, every single play? You know, so yeah. Saquon Barkley needs a good quarterback and the weapons outside so that they don't have to rely on him. They're not stacking 8-9 guys in the box.
We're 7 weeks away from the draft. We're just a week away or 8 days away from free agency. And everything's in play for the Bills and everybody else. Let's know what you think about the Bills signing those two free agents. What do they say about their offseason approach? A couple of tweets on this. Ian Shaw tweets in, I think it says a lot about the new regime that we're getting these vets signed early, filling voids at great value. Michael Kohlbrenner tweets in, love the pickup. Ivory is a tough downhill runner, always liked him, even as a Jet. He's always been impressive.
Oh, yeah.
He's always been a tough physical runner. He tore up the Bills a couple of times when he was with the New York Jets. And imagine, you know, playing the Bills next year and you're all, you know, ready to stop LeSean McCoy and then all of a sudden it's, you know, second quarter or second down and all of a sudden there's this beast, Chris Ivory, in there
right.
You know, for a couple of carries even.
Yeah, and he's coming because, you know, you get so used to having to tackle LeSean McCoy and he's trying to shake you out of your shoes and he can shake you out of your shoes and then all of a sudden you get this dude that's just coming at you. And we're not talking – like, that's not the only thing he can do. He actually has the jump cut and all of that stuff as well. But he is a physical bruising back that is more of a downhill, I'm going to lower my shoulder, and you better be ready for it. So it is a changeup. And you speak of the Jets. I mean, you look at his stats when he was with the Jets. He had his most productive 3 years with the Jets.
Yeah.
And he went over 1,000. He had 821 and then 833. His three years with the Jets. So, you know, once he got down to Jacksonville – it died off because it was more running back by committee. He had some injuries. So I know he's excited to get up here and really feel like I don't have to do it all on my own, but I can really contribute to what they're trying
to
do.
It's funny, too, because we're sitting here talking about this, and the people on MSG are watching the highlights, and Chris Ivy looks like a beast, man. He looks awesome, but these are the highlights, you know. So it's like, wow, what's he doing on the street, you know?
Yeah.
Because he did. Listen, he played really well for the Jets.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years, and he played pretty darn good for the Jacksonville Jaguars last year when they got Leonard Fournette. And Leonard Fournette turned them to be a franchise running back. I mean, he's like an Adrian Peterson type guy, this Leonard Fournette.
Right.
So, you know, Chris Ivory sat down and that was it for him. But I don't think there's any question he's going to be a real plus for the club. And you said the numbers at the beginning. I mean, he's not breaking the bank. Mm-hmm. And if he does get on the field and play a lot, he's still not breaking the bank. And he's got a reason to play hard.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I think fans here need to understand. This regime, especially next year, they'll have a lot more money to really work with in terms of free agency next year. I just don't see them making the big, splashy free agent moves. I see more moves like this. Key veteran guys that understand their role coming into the team, understand what it is to be a pro, and they come in and they're like solid, steady guys instead of the big splash free agents that you got to spend $100 million to get that guy because that guy might come here and just say, I'm done.
Take it out of gear. He starts coasting. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so I see them really finding these guys that are key veteran guys that still want or feel like they have a lot to prove. Guys that can really play, have shown that they can play in this league, but at the same time, I still got something to prove. And so they're still coming here with the chip on their shoulder. Like, let's go. I'm ready to go.
All right, what do you think? Not just Ivory, the signing today, but Ivory plus Vontae Davis last week. What does it tell you about the Bills' approach to free agency and maybe even the draft 7 weeks away? Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. You can do it via Twitter. A couple of tweets. Vinny Fairplay says, Ivory too old and fumbles, but better than Tolbert. John Van Langen tweets in, played poorly the last couple of years, rather have Blunt. Bob Matthews tweets in, I hope McCoy can play every down. Ivory a bust since solid 2015 season. He had a great season in 2015, had a good season the year after. And as you
last year he was on the bench.
Last year he didn't play.
You're right. There have been times when he coughed it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there have been. And that's an issue. I mean, the guy's on the street for a reason. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons, the big reason is Leonard Fournette. But that guy's an NFL player, so I'm kind of stoked about it. But let's face it, he's going to have to prove himself probably a little bit. They haven't invested anything in him.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
So it'll be interesting to see. But I don't think there's any question he's going to be good enough to make this squad.
I think, well, they gave him 3.2 in guarantees, so I think he'll be here at least for a year. But I still think they'll draft one. Somewhere, I would say even fourth round or back. They're still going to draft one to be the third running back on this team, or maybe Travaris Cadet, one of those guys can really come back healthy and make this team. But, you know, it's going to be a battle for Chris Ivory for the backup running back spot with a draft pick or with someone else who was here last year.
Talk more about this. We'll talk about the salary cap and how it impacts the Bills. They know now exactly what the numbers are and what's going on around the league with free agency 8 days away. All of that when we come back. Steve Tasker is with us for this first hour. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We got Steve Tasker in studio with us until 1 o'clock today. Frank Reich joining us at 1. Steve, by the way, if you want to stick for a few minutes and talk to Frank on the show, you're welcome.
No, I don't want to talk to him.
Wow. Okay.
No, he ain't got enough room for me. I'd tell him I said hey.
All right, we'll do
He'll
that.
Be in town for a Call of Courage breakfast.
Yes, you're going to that?
Yeah, I'll go. I think I might have to actually buy a table for that one.
Really? Yeah. Table?
You sound disappointed that you would actually have to buy a table.
Well, it's not, you know. I mean,
here's everything you need to know about
it. It's not $1.99 lunch, man. It's
We'll talk to Frank about his call to Kerr. What is it, April 18th?
April 14th. 14th? Saturday, okay. April 14th, 9 a.m.
Yeah, like, come on, Frank. I mean, you just won a Super Bowl, got a new job, and now you got some bonus money. You can pay for us all to get a table.
That came up when I had my brief conversation with Frank last week. I said, have you ever had a better month
in
your life? You know, Super Bowl ring, a head coaching job. I mean, seriously, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. Good for him.
What?
Yeah, that's up there with the kids being born and getting married and all that. Yeah.
All right, let's take a few phone calls.
I mean, it doesn't usually happen that close to each other.
Right.
That's right.
A month apart. Yeah. Dick on a cell. Go ahead, Dick. You're on the air.
Yeah, Dick from Webster here. I'm just calling about the draft picks they have in the 2018 draft. I know they got 5 in the first 3 rounds. I'm not a big Tyrod fan. But he's a serviceable quarterback. He's somewhere in the mid round 16 in the league. I think if they fill some of the other holes that they have at the wide receiver, they're going to need somebody on the offensive line. They need somebody on the defensive line. If they attack that with their first draft pick and secure everything else, obviously, and they're going after the free agency, they got to be a better team. Unless a good quarterback comes, we've been chasing quarterbacks for 17 years, and I'm just afraid they're getting us chasing a quarterback and think they're going to draft somebody, and it's not going to be. And we've seen quarterbacks go in the fourth round that were some of the best.
Mm.
So I'd be a little reluctant to give up a lot of draft picks to go after somebody you don't know. Why not put the good people on the field today?
Yeah, that's one way to do it, Dick.
Right.
You're right.
I mean, they proved they could win with Tyrod. I mean, they went to the playoffs with him, and there were a lot of games where the Bills had got to think if they were a little better here and a little better there, apart from Tyrod, they'd have won those two, you know, and they'd have been, they would have – you look, they were a touchdown away from beating Jacksonville. So, you know, I mean, they were a good football team last year, no question about it. They deserved to be in the playoffs. They earned it, and Tyrod was their quarterback. And there's no doubt that they don't have any fear going into the year with him, thinking they can win games with him. But by the same token, they want to get better everywhere. And I, you know, and that's the caller, Dick, said the same thing. you don't want to go down that rabbit hole of chasing, throwing bad quarterback away for a worse quarterback. Or, you know, you don't want to throw away a good quarterback, a serviceable, as Dick's called him, a serviceable quarterback in Tyrod away for a kid that can't play.
And yet, Steve,
and
Donald,
waste a first-round draft pick.
We haven't talked
it.
Much about the combine since we've both been back. We were there last week. And I understand what Dick's saying. I understand what you're saying, Steve. And yet, I'm watching over the weekend Josh Allen throw the football. And I thought, whoa. I'm watching Josh Rosen throw the football, and I'm thinking, okay, I see it. And we didn't see the USC Darnold throw. But this could be a year where there's really good chance to get a really good quarterback.
What Jackson look like? What did Lamar Jackson look like?
He was okay.
He was all right.
Really? Just okay?
Just okay, I thought. I watched the Saturday video of the quarterbacks.
See, it's
but
so
you know what I mean?
There
could be – and those two would be the two – and Darnold, those three. Darnold, Rosen, and
I think Mayfield
Allen.
Has something to say in it as well.
Yeah, he played
– I got to tell you, though, listen.
And that's just combine throws.
Listen,
I know.
Yeah, they're standing around in shorts.
I know.
Thrown against air. They don't have to make any decisions.
I know.
They don't have – it doesn't tell you – that doesn't tell you squat.
I just have a feeling that at least one of these guys is going to be special. At least one of these guys.
Quarterback is the most – I mean, they're the one everybody wants to go see. It tells you the least about whether the guy can play or not.
I think either Rosen or Allen or Darnold, one of those three is going to be special, like a long-time, long-term NFL
I'm going to go scratch that on the wall of the studio.
Okay.
And we're going to put that – and we're going to come back. We'll revisit
Rosen.
That.
Rosen is the closest to being special early in his career because of his ability to throw the ball the way he can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the dude can really
throw it where you want it.
Yeah, where you want it.
Yeah.
And so
accuracy is the key, man.
Yeah, he's got it.
So if he gets into a good system and he has some receivers who can really make plays, and that's what it's all about. I mean, these guys get drafted into a system that doesn't fit them. You saw it with Jared Goff. And then once when McVay came in, Sean McVay, then it was like, and then they got a couple of extra pieces like Robert Woods.
Yeah.
They brought in Sammy Watkins.
Sammy,
they drafted Cooper Kupp. All of these guys came in the same year, and then all of a sudden you see Jared Goff now flourish. And so if these guys, one of them is going to go to Cleveland. One of them is going to – I don't know what the Giants are going to do. If the Giants end up drafting a quarterback, then he might really sit behind Eli for a couple of years and learn, which might be beneficial. And one of them is – I don't know what Indy's going to do either. But they're going to go.
Indy will probably either
move out.
They may either take Saquon Barkley if he's available or trade out and get some more picks and build their team.
It depends on.
Because they've got the guy pulling.
Frank won't tell us this, but what's going on with Andrew Luck?
I got it on my list of questions.
Listen, they got. And I read a really nice article coming out of there. Listen, the Colts are saying. You know, they don't know if he's going to be good or not until they want to sell season tickets. Saying, he's the guy. He's going to be here. He's going to, you know, but you ask him a football question, they go, wow, we don't know. You know, I don't know.
Right.
You know, we may need a quarterback at number four, you know. So they're just trying to bait that. They're trying to dangle that pick out there to get somebody to grab it. But I'm with you. Josh Rosen, everybody has said since the beginning, he's the pro-ready guy. Mm-hmm. The guy that's going to plug in and you're going to play. He's the one of the guys, if you're going to get a guy who's going to, you're going to need to play like a Cleveland where he's going to be in there and he's going to be taking snaps from day one, from the OTAs, he's the guy that's going to be the most ready to be successful. To me, that's all I need to hear because none of these other guys, like this Josh Allen, I've seen guys sling it 90 yards before. I've seen guys throw it 65 yards on a rope before.
Yeah.
I've seen guys
do that. But it gets me excited when I see it.
I get it. It's hard to do. It's not anybody. Yeah. There's not all the guys that can do it, but that doesn't mean all the guys that can do it can play.
Right.
In fact, almost none of them can play.
Right.
All I'm saying is I came out of the combine wanting you to know more about those three in particular. Donald didn't throw. Okay, I'd like to know more about Josh Allen. I'd like to know more about Josh Rosen because I think those three, one of those three is going to be special. Hey, we're talking about the Bills' move today. Chris Ivory signs. Last week it was Vontae Davis. Dan and Kenmore has some thoughts on Chris Ivory. Chris, Dan, go ahead.
Those were two great pickups. The only thing I was wondering is if it was possible for the Bills to trade their two first-round draft picks for, say, Cleveland's second first-round pick, which would be the fourth, I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. That it could possibly happen, but you got to have Cleveland's got to say yes. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if Cleveland wants to move out of there.
It depends on what they do with the first. If they take Barkley, I can't.
They ain't moving.
They ain't moving.
Yeah.
In fact, they may try and move up.
Right.
They may move up, say, I'll give you our four. I want your two pick Giants, or I want your 3-pick Indianapolis mm-hmm. for our 4-pick, and we'll give you an extra second rounder.
You right. two, what you guys are saying is those two early first rounders, first and fourth, give Cleveland the opportunity to get Saquon Barkley
and something. Oh, there's no doubt they can.
Yeah.
They can get one of those top three guys.
And Barkley is the best player in the draft by far.
Yes. Barkley, Darnold, Allen, Mayfield, they get one of those four guys for sure.
Yeah.
And if they can get Saquon Barkley as well. And listen, Saquon Barkley is legit. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's special.
He can do it all.
Yeah.
He really can do it all.
And that's – and not only that, he's a great dude. I mean, he's not going to be, Josh
right.
Gordon,
right?
You know, and if you're going to, I don't know if Hugh Jackson's even interested in changing the culture or whatever he's doing down there, but you don't need Josh Gordon out there getting suspended for a year and a half.
Sure. Here's Fred calling from Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Fred. You're on the air.
That's Brad, John.
But oh, it's all right. Hi, Brad.
Call me Fred. Hey. Good afternoon, guys, and what a team you guys got there. Don and John, and then you add Steve. Wow. All you need is Ruben now.
That's right.
Question for you here. Don't you think it was a little premature signing, Chris? I mean, look, I have no doubt he can help us if he can stay healthy. But come on, there's going to be other backs that are going to be released that I feel better fit our system. Touchdown Mike. I can't see him being in New England next year. So I look for New England to release him by next week. And to be honest with you, I would rather see someone like him. And I think he offers more than Chris. Also, real quick, and then I'll go and I'll hear what you guys have to say. But Preston Brown, any word on him signing, or is he going to go to free agent? I'll hang up and listen
to you. Okay. Thanks, Brad. Nothing on Preston. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah,
Donald,
I no, but anything. I think he's got a – for me, and I've said it before, I think he's the top guy that they would like to re-sign.
I would think so.
I think he's one of the most important guys.
From the team standpoint, he's probably the most important guy to this point that you need to sign back in terms of guys that you want to bring back. People say Kyle Williams, but I love Kyle Williams. Everybody here loves Kyle Williams, but he is older, and you need to make sure that you're – that you're getting him at the right price. Preston, for me, is the most important guy that you want to bring back. It's still yet to be seen if he's even a fit in the scheme that they want. Obviously, they're coming up from Luke Kuechly down in Carolina. Preston's been a good player, though, and so I would think they would try to make a push. But if I'm Preston Brown, I think I'm going to test it, you know, and I don't know if I would sign – look, you guys make me an offer before free agency. All right, I like this offer, but I want to test it first. And I kind of, maybe because I'm a former player, I tell all guys, man, test the free agent market and see what your value is out there. See what teams are willing to offer you. And if they're not willing to offer you and you have the Bills that have already offered you something, then you go back and accept that one.
What do you think of Brad's first point, Steve, about
being not liking Ivory signing and
Ivory or Gillislee. Yeah, I'd rather have Ivory than Gillislee. I think Ivory has Ivory, a better resume than Mike Gillislee.
Gillislee wasn't active for a lot of games up there.
Didn't play.
Yeah, and not that that's unusual for New England. They do sit good players down occasionally just because of the matchups.
Yeah.
like Butler. So they do that. So that doesn't say anything about Mike Gillislee. But listen, this is a team that was better without him. With Mike Tolbert in there,
mm-hmm.
and I get what you're saying, and we're comparing players, and we'll always. I mean, that's the nature of the game. I still think I like Chris Ivory as much or better than I like Gillislee because of his size. Probably, I don't think Gillislee's 230,
right.
You know, and I think you do need at some once in a while you need a big hammer back there, and mm-hmm. I think Ivory's that guy.
Hey, we're going to take a break. News on a couple of officiating retirements when we come back. Steve Tasker's with us a few more minutes. Donald Jones and I here until 3. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Steve Tasker has joined us this first hour. This news just came in, the NFL referees, a couple of them retiring. Jeff Triplett, whose last game
might
was
make
the Bills
you happy.
Game.
No, I'm just playing.
Ed Hockley is retiring, the Bills. The NFL is promoting a couple of others to referee, including Back judge Sean Hockley, Ed's son, is now going to be a referee. And side judge Alex Kemp is going to be a referee. But Ed Hockley, Jeff Triplett retiring. Your thoughts? Ed Hockley, hey, probably the most famous referee
in
the NFL.
He's probably one of the most recognizable guys in the NFL, officials, except now probably, at one point it was Mike Carey, and then it was Ed Cleet Blakeman.
Yeah,
now
Steratore, he's pretty Steratore. Famous
Gene is Gene's really good. He's, for my money, Gene's the best guy.
Yeah,
he's got a great demeanor for it, and he, you know, he kind of laughs at himself every time he's about to make an announcement. You kind of get
that. He does,
but he is good. He's on top of it. But yeah, you know, Triplett. You know, Triplett was also the guy that threw the beanbag and knocked Orlando Brown's eye out.
That's right.
In that unfortunate incident, but Hockley's the guy that always had his. It's nice that his son is being promoted because Ed wore his son's shirt for about 30 years.
Doing push-ups. Yeah,
he's doing those push-ups before he. Ed had the gun, flashing the guns everywhere. You know, he had his big arms out, so it was pretty funny. But
think he stops doing push-ups now?
I don't know.
He's retired?
I don't know.
You know, Triplett's last game. Not as famous as Hockley, but that Bills-Miami game on December 31st, he was kind of silly that day. I don't know if you guys remember it. Before kickoff, did the coin flip, and he's like, let's play some football. And then, you know, that fight, remember that goal line fight down at the one end?
No.
He was like laughing as he tried to sort through all the penalties. And Kelso and I in the broadcast saying, something's up with Triplett. Yeah. And it turns out that was his last game. But he was silly the whole day. I mean, it was kind of stupid.
He was taking it all in.
Yeah.
Taking it all in. Enjoying it for a change.
And you know, his last game in Miami. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy this one.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, we're talking about the Bills signing today. Chris Ivory signing Vontae Davis last week. What do you take from their approach to this offseason? Aaron and Lockport on the line with us. Aaron, go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Great.
Good.
I think it's a great signing. Good value signing. A little bit of a change up of the running back position. I like the Vontae Davis signing. I like getting a lot of the stuff out of the way before the draft. But I wanted to voice an opinion on our quarterback position, if you wouldn't mind.
Go ahead.
Don't mind at all, Aaron.
Honestly, you guys are talking about the top three quarterbacks. The guy I'm really in love with is Baker Mayfield. I mean, over 70% completion in his senior year. I mean, there's a lot of guys in the NFL not pulling that off. Obviously, it's different in college. A lot more wide open space on the field. But, I mean, I think we could easily move up. A lot of people talk about this, especially if the Broncos end up with Cousins or another free agent. And if we can get up with the Broncos, let them get more picks. We got two first rounders. I think you keep Tyrod Taylor around till the end of training camp. And if it looks like Baker can be the guy, I mean, by the end of every year of training camp, he's got injuries and holes in the roster. Then we trade him for a need. We trade him for another player of starting caliber for a need that we're going to have by the end of training camp.
Baker's another one. Donald had a good combine. Looked pretty good. Pretty solid.
He had a good combine. But I think his biggest thing was his personality at the podium, and I'm sure his personality when doing his interviews. He has an edge about him, you know, and it's you want to call it cocky, you want to call it confidence, whatever you want to call it, that's him. And he is the one that's going to tell you, look, I can change your franchise. And without any hesitation, he'll tell you that. And so you're going to have teams that like it. Maybe you'll have teams that don't like it. But I think that has shown out on the field, his passion for the game, that cockiness or confident, confidence in himself on the field. You've seen it. You've seen some of the things that he's done on the field. You've seen the things that he's done off the field. That's going to be his biggest thing. And then the height thing, for me, I know people say, you know, you don't have a big history of shorter quarterbacks in this league actually being successful, but there are some that have been successful, some that are still doing it right now, currently in
Russell
this league.
Russell Wilson and Drew Brees.
And Drew Brees are prime examples of it. And so, you know, he could be a guy with that edge that can really change the fortune of a franchise.
Yeah. Listen, all the great quarterbacks have a little bit of swagger.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of swagger. But all the really good ones had the ability. They weren't afraid of confrontation with their teammates. They weren't afraid of the media. They weren't afraid of making a statement and backing it up. And Baker Mayfield does that extremely well. I'm not sure that I saw any of the other guys back down from that.
Right.
But that seems to be his defining quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know whether that's, you know, you can say that scares some people off and it's attractive to other people.
Right.
It just depends on if he can back it up. It's really attractive because he talks great. And that's, you know, if he can back that up, man, awesome. That's the guy. That is exactly the guy you want.
Right.
But the question is, you don't know if he can.
And I'd like to believe that once he gets drafted and gets into camp, he won't be that guy right away. You know, it's going to take him some time. He'll make some big plays, and then you'll start to really see you'll start to see him wear that stuff on his sleeve on the field. But I think when he gets in there, wherever he is, you're going to have the vets on the team like, look, you know, you got to prove to us that you can actually do it. I don't want to hear you talking about it. I don't want to hear you talking about it in practice, none of that stuff. You're a rookie at the end of the day. Now, we'll rally behind you if you are backing that talk up on the field and making plays for
us. His reputation is he's exactly that guy. Guys like him. Mm-hmm. They rally to him. That's one of the reasons Oklahoma was a good team.
Right.
He led them. They wanted to join him, and that's a huge thing. And I think veterans will rally to him, even if he is a young kid. Mm-hmm. They'll do that.
Steve, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming
by here
today. Thanks
for having me on, guys. Enjoyed it.
Yep. Steve Tasker, Bills Wall of Famer from the NFL on CBS, joining us this first hour. His former teammate, Frank Reich, standing by to join us next hour. Come on back for that. He's now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Donald and I back with more. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive with the Bills added another veteran to the roster today. The team announced they've agreed to terms with running back Chris Ivory, a 2-year contract. NFL Network says it's worth $5.5 million in base salary, 3.25 guaranteed the first year, can be worth up to $6 million maximum. Jacksonville cut Ivory last month after two seasons there, where he played a complementary role. Once Leonard Fournette joined the Jags last year, Chris Ivory's playing time was diminished a great deal. He'll be a power complement behind LeSean McCoy in the Bills' run-first offense. The Bills, with a number of backs headed towards free agency, including Mike Tolbert, Travaris Cadet, and Tywan Jones. Chris Ivory, veteran running back, is now with the Buffalo Bills. Philadelphia Eagles are likely to ask for at least a first-round pick for Nick Foles. They have fielded calls from teams who are interested in the quarterback who won the Super Bowl. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport says that the Eagles are asking for a first-round pick at the very least. Muhammad Wilkerson, released by the New York Jets last week, is now a free agent, and his first free agent trip is expected to be with the Green Bay Packers. The Jets announced last week they informed Wilkerson of his release. He was officially cut yesterday. The Jacksonville Jaguars say they will not use the franchise tag on wide receiver Allen Robinson. They've informed the receiver they will not put the franchise or transition tag on him. That means Robinson has a chance to look at the open market. The Jags now have a week to work out a deal with the former Penn State star receiver who's broken 1,000 receiving yards just once in his 4-year NFL career. And a day after Dolphins owner Stephen Ross said all players on his team would stand for the national anthem next week, the Dolphins owner clarified his comments today, saying that all of our players, he would not rather force players' involvement in the Star-Spangled Banner. He says he believes his comments were misconstrued. Ross said, I have no intention of forcing our players to stand. Buffalo Sabres came up with a 5-3 win over Toronto last night. Sabres home tomorrow night against Calgary at KeyBank Center. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, just a couple of weeks after getting the job and a week after the combine in Indianapolis, happy to have one of the Bills' all-time greats, former quarterback Frank Reich, now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, live with us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Frank, good afternoon. It's John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
A couple of times we tried to get you last week right down there in your backyard, but Combine Week is busy, right, for coaches. You've got stuff to do down there.
I know. And, you know, being the first time around as the head coach, there were just a few more responsibilities than normal. So, sorry I missed you guys.
You know, Frank, Murph is being nice. You know, behind closed doors, he said you were big time in us. I'm just trying to let you know.
No, I did not say that.
I figured that. That's well deserved.
We just said goodbye to a former teammate of yours, Steve Tasker, who did the first hour with us. And Steve wanted to make sure we passed along his best wishes. And they're all proud of you. All your former teammates are really proud of you, Frank, these days, aren't they?
Well, you know what? That was really cool, Murph, that when I got this job, I mean, just the phone calls and text messages from the guys really meant a lot. And then also after we won the Super Bowl, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, because of the 4 years that we had there and that Super Bowl run. And a lot of the guys just, giving me well wishes and congratulations after the Super Bowl victory as well.
You know, Frank, I remember as a player after games coming, especially if I scored a touchdown or something, coming back to my phone and having 100 text messages. I can't imagine. Have you had a chance to really catch up and text everybody back yet?
It took about 2 weeks, but I literally just the other day finally, you know, got through the last of it. And I'm sure I missed a few people. It's hard. I mean, it's a great opportunity, but there's so many good people who you come in contact with. So a lot of well-wishers and then, you know, just people wishing congratulations. And then when you get the job, a head coaching job, you know, there's just opportunities for, you know, for people to work. And it's just hard sorting through all that and making some tough decisions.
Frank, what a month for you. You win the Super Bowl, what was that, February 4th, and then just a couple of weeks later, you get the head coaching job in sort of a roundabout way with the Indianapolis Colts. Have you ever had a month like that? I think it was a week, actually, right? A week from the day you won the Super Bowl to you got named the head coach of the Colts?
Yeah, I think it was a week. And, it was crazy, Murph. I mean, the way it all came down. But, for myself and for my wife, I mean, you know, we just said, hey, if we were ever going to have an opportunity like this, for it to happen the way it did, we just felt very appropriate for us and the path that we've been on, you know, with our beliefs and values. And so we just appreciated the opportunity. And then to get a chance to come back to a place where, you know, I started my coaching career. You know, I mean, obviously I started my playing career in Buffalo, so that always remains very special to you. And then, but as a coach, you know, I really started my coaching career here in Indianapolis. So to be able to come back into a building where I know almost everybody in the building, I was here for 4 years prior, and that just makes it pretty special.
You know, for you, you win the Super Bowl, and then a week later, you get the head coaching job, and you really immediately have to go to work on trying to, I guess, make that franchise better. So have you had a chance to really let the Super Bowl settle in and say, you know what, I actually am a Super Bowl champ?
Yeah, I really haven't, Donald. I mean, I really haven't. In fact, I was at the combine when I saw some of the coaches with the Eagles, you know, obviously guys who I'm very close with. I was joking around with them about how they, you know, they got a week off after the Super Bowl. I said, I think I'm going to have to wait to get a day off until next year sometime. Mm-hmm. But it's all good. I mean, you know, you get an opportunity like this, it really energizes you. And, you know, you probably don't get as much chance to appreciate what you just accomplished, but it does leave a taste in your mouth for really what, in this business, you know, what we're all aspiring to, and that's to be world champions. And to come fresh off that, I think, really gives me good perspective coming into this job.
Frank Reich on the line with us, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, former Bills backup quarterback. Frank, the Super Bowl week, and you know, we know the Patriots all too well here in Buffalo. What was the Eagles' mindset going up against the team that finds its way to the Super Bowl almost every year and usually finds a way to win? What was your team's mindset going into that game against New England?
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things that we said, you know, offensively and particularly, and having been the coordinator, you know, I was just more focused on that side. But really, it was, we were talking to our guys about how, hey, we were the best team in the NFL. We had the best record. You know, we were the number one. Teams were chasing us the whole year. And so, yeah, we were going in to play, you know, the defending champs and certainly, you know, one of the best franchises and teams in NFL history. And certainly they deserve everything, all the accolades that they get. But we really felt like the team there was a very special team, and that our formula was going to be the same formula in the Super Bowl that we used the whole year long, and that was just, you know, being unselfish, playing for each other, you know, playing and just remaining, you know, just believe and execute one play at a time, and that's what we did.
The famous Philly special play, which will now live in pro football history. Did you go into that game thinking that that was going to be part of the part of your game plan against New England that day?
Well, yeah, I did, but you know, not the way it came to pass. I mean, you know, it's funny as you know that play we had put it in 2 weeks earlier in the NFC Championship game against the Vikings, but you know, we took control of that game pretty early. And it ended up being a lopsided game, so we didn't have to use it. So when we carried it over into the Super Bowl, you know, knowing based on the coverages that New England played down in the red zone that it would still be a good play down there, you know, when I talked, when Coach Peterson and I talked about, you know, calling the play and when he was going to call it, you know, we were thinking sometime in the second half, you know, maybe we're up by a touchdown or maybe we're up by 10 points and the Philly special would be the play that would seal the game, so to speak. And let alone that I never thought it was going to be on fourth and one and or fourth and goal from the one in the second quarter. But, you know, that's just a credit to Doug and his play calling, just the guts that he has as a play caller.
I'd imagine you'd like to give a lot of credit to Nick Foles as well because he had a part in calling that play.
Oh, absolutely. He suggested it. Mm-hmm. He suggested it, but still, I just know, having been a play caller, there's a lot of people that suggest plays, but only one person gets to call it. And in that case, it was Doug, you know. So, you know, Nick did suggest it for sure, and certainly a credit to him because that's just typical Nick. But, you know, Doug's the one that really has to put the stamp on it and say, let's go get it done. And he didn't even hesitate. When Nick suggested it, he said, let's go.
You know, Frank, as a receiver, I suggested a lot of plays that would come my way. That didn't get called.
There you go. You're exactly right. That's right. Well said.
Frank, Indianapolis Colts head coach on the line with us. Got the job the week after the Super Bowl and immediately got to work hiring coaches. Your staff is complete now, Frank, even with, you kept some of the coaches that had already been hired by Indy before you got there, right?
Yeah, staff is complete and very excited about that. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, as you said, it was a little bit interesting just because of the unique scenario that, you know, Josh McDaniels had already hired a couple guys, you know, for that were in place. But when I got here, I had already done a little – when I came to interview for the job, I was aware of that. I had already done a little due diligence on those guys, and everything was just coming back incredibly positive. And then since I've been here, I'm it's like I've said to myself 50 times, well, I can't believe how well this worked out. Couldn't have had a better defensive staff and coordinator to start this off. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you know, we took our time and was really glad I could get Nick Sirianni out of L.A. with the Chargers. You know, Nick and I worked together for 3 years when I was out there with the San Diego Chargers. And, you know, Nick, I just have a lot of respect for him. I mean, we really worked hard together during our 3 years there. He knows exactly what we want to do offensively, and so that was a very important piece as well.
You know, I kept saying to myself, I wonder how hard of a situation that has to be when you're hired so late in the process and you have to find coaches when most guys already have jobs.
Well, you know what? It's actually an interesting dynamic that in one sense, yes, there were a lot of coaches already hired. But in another sense, you know, we weren't competing against anybody. So there were still a lot of really good coaches out there. And we could take our time and, you know, because we didn't have to worry about them getting, you know, taken by another team. So that ended up being an advantage. I felt like it ended up being an advantage. And to be honest with you, at the end of the day, the decisions were incredibly hard because there are some really good coaches out there.
With Frank Reich, Indianapolis Colts head coach, former Buffalo Bills quarterback. And Frank, you obviously the biggest question deals with Andrew Luck. What's the latest on his status? And, you know, you get to go to practice, April 2nd, I guess, to start your workouts. When will you start to get a look at Andrew Luck and, you know, how ready he is to play this year?
Well, you know, like all the other players, you know, around the league right now who aren't allowed to be, you know, working out with coaches in their facility, he's doing all his work, I believe, out on the West Coast and, you know, just working hard to, you know, to be as close to 100% as he can be when we get back. And, you know, I'm confident that that'll happen. I mean, you know, it's a day-by-day process. You know, very confident. He's very confident in the progress that he's making, and we'll just evaluate when he gets back here. And, you know, and he'll be involved at whatever level we feel is appropriate at that time.
I'm sure that you know, really factors into where you go in the draft. As you have a very early pick, and I'm sure you're excited about that pick. But I remember being a free agent going out to Indianapolis, and one of the first things that they said to me was, man, this dude is a real leader. He's like a leader of men. When he walks into that room, he really commands it. And so I'm sure you've had a chance to speak to him a little bit. Can you see that as you're able to talk to him just a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I could see it from afar just watching him play. And, of course, I knew some of the coaches that were here with him when he got here. And so I've kind of already heard the inside track of all the great things you hear about Andrew. They're all true. He's the kind of leader and quality person, and then just physically a gifted player. So, you know, we feel very fortunate to have him as our quarterback and as our leader.
Frank, you get the Colts in practice starting April 2nd. In the middle of the month, Saturday, April 14th, you're coming back to Buffalo for your annual Call to Courage Awards Breakfast. How many years is this for the breakfast that you run with Athletes in Action here?
I mean, this is 17, I think.
Yeah, wow.
It's just hard to believe. And I remember when we first started out, we thought, oh, maybe we can do this for 5 years and then probably people will get tired of it and want to do something else. But you know what? Every year, as you know, Murph, we sell out, and people have been so gracious to support the breakfast, you know, just coming out every year. We're always amazed at how many new people come out. And, you know, so it's been a blast. And this year, you know, is just like the rest. You know, we just expect, you know, the best things, and just can't wait till that date on the 14th of April.
It's already been announced that DeMario Davis, Jets linebacker, is going to be the special Call to Courage Award winner this year. What do you know about him, and what do you expect to hear from him, Frank?
Well, you know, I've just heard a man of outstanding character, you know, on and off the field, and that's really what it's all about. You know, it's all about, you know, living out your faith on and off the field, and you know, and being an impact player, really encouraging and helping others, helping people in the community, helping people, you know, wherever you're at, you know, and being that kind of man. And so on every level, as a player and as a person, that's really the kind of person that we want to honor. And then hear from DeMario, you know, on what makes him tick. You know, how does he do it? What's the foundation of his life that has allowed him to go through the ups and downs? And, you know, and we honor somebody, so it's an award, and he's had all these great things and done so many great things. But really what I like is at the breakfast we get to hear about the ups and the downs, because that's really where we all live. We all, you know, no matter who you are, that you go through those ups and downs. And so it's always encouraging to hear these testimonies.
Call the Courage Awards Breakfast coming up Saturday, April 14th. It's just about 6 weeks away at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Buffalo. Tickets are available if you're interested. Call 559-1800, 559-1800. It's always a great event, and I'm always happy to be the MC. I can't wait for it this year, Frank. Always, you know, it's a couple of hours on a Saturday morning, usually a beautiful springtime Saturday morning, and you leave there and you think, wow, this is pretty good. There's a lot of good people out there, and a lot of them in the world of football, too.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, like you said, every year it just seems like, we always say every year, you know, how can we make it better? How can we kind of keep it at such a high level? And every year it seems to work out that the people that are there, that there's a lot of energy in the building. And I think that's just because of the quality of people there. And, of course, the people of Buffalo are very special to us.
Hey, Frank, one more thing before we let you go, and it's a sad note. And Steve Tasker talked about it with us. The news came out late last week about your former teammate, Jim Kelly, and I know you issued a statement. Have you had any contact with Jim since the news came out that he's battling cancer again?
Yeah, we've gone back and forth via text and talked a little bit, and I talked to Jim on the phone a couple weeks ago, you know, before he was going in for some of those tests. And so, you know what? I mean, Jim's the guy who can fight through anything, and, you know, we're just believing the best and thinking the best and, you know that there will be challenges ahead, you know, to fight back through this. But if there's anyone that I have confidence in and faith in doing, it's him. I mean, the guy is incredible. He is the toughest football player I've ever played with at any position, any time, anywhere. Everybody else is a distant second. That guy is one of a kind.
Hey, Frank, thanks for this. As you can tell, lots of folks in Buffalo were really excited about your new job. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks here for the Call to Courage Breakfast. Thanks for carving out a few minutes with us here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Frank Reich, new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, coming back to town Saturday, April 14th for the Call to Courage Awards Breakfast. What did he say, 17th year, I believe? Mm-hmm. I'll be the MC this year. DeMario Davis, Jets linebacker, will be the recipient of the Call to Courage Award. You can get tickets. They go fast, though, so you want to get on it now. 559-1800, the number to call to reserve your tickets. Saturday, April 14th, 9 a.m., the Call to Courage Awards Breakfast at the Hyatt Regency in Buffalo. You can go online to AIABuffalo.com For more information about Call to Courage, the awards breakfast coming up Saturday, April 14th. You played in the league, Donald, and, you know, talking to Tasker first hour, talking to Frank, that's a different group, that Super Bowl Bills group, don't you think?
Yeah,
you have friends you played with. I know you keep in touch with several guys.
Yeah.
That's a different group, those guys.
And, you know, we're actually going, the group that I played with here, we're all going out to on a cruise next year, families and everything.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing. But that group from the Super Bowl years, and especially just – yeah, that group, because they went to the four Super Bowls, they've had so many ups, so many downs together. They've been with Jim and fighting through his cancer multiple times now with the third. Those guys are a real close-knit group because of how the NFL was back in the day. And the free agency wasn't what it was now. And so you had the same group of guys, core group of guys that were going – to these, you know, to the NFC or the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl every year. So they were going through those ups and downs every single year together. And then you'd have, you know, some other pieces that would come in, but those, that group of guys were there every single year. And so that's why they're so close. And through those years, they became close. They hung out, their families, their wives all hung out with each other. And so that's why they all still hang out the same way they do. I'm sure there are other teams that are like that. But that is a team that went to four straight Super Bowls. That's never been done.
Right.
And lost four straight Super Bowls together, which never is like, done. Which has never been done.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, we had so many ups, but then we had so many downs. There's so many good stories, but then so many bad stories. We had nothing more but to be close with each other. And still, we can still come back together and talk about all of these good and bad stories.
We thank Frank for joining us. Frank Reich, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Like to hear from you about the Bills and where the Bills stand these days. A couple of interesting things going on. We'll get to that in a minute. But on Twitter, our Twitter poll today deals with the Buffalo Bills. Today's news that the Bills have agreed to terms on a two-year deal with running back Chris Ivory. What do you think of that in particular? What do you think of that? Plus the announcement last week that Vontae Davis is a Buffalo Bills. On Twitter, two free agent signings already. What do those moves say about the Bills' offseason approach? We're trying to figure it out ourselves. 41% of you say it says that they are smart as they target free agents. 32% of you say they will continue to be aggressive. 24% of you say this means they can focus on the draft, on quarterback and front seven defensively. 3% have something else in mind. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter. What do those signings mean as far as you're concerned for the Buffalo Bills and their approach? I think it means all of the above. They'll be aggressive. They will target a couple of free agents that they need, probably when free agency opens next Wednesday, 8 days away. And they will focus on quarterback in the front seven when it comes to the draft. Donald, that's what I think.
Yeah, I think I definitely think it means all of those. I think they're going to be aggressive, but they're going to be targeted, smart free agent signings like they were last year with Micah Hyde and Steven Hauschka. And people will say, well, that wasn't really aggressive. No, they went after the guys that they wanted. And they got those guys. I don't really see this organization making the big splashy signings anymore under this regime. I think it's always going to be smart, targeted free agents, and then they build the rest of the team through the draft. And they're going to make moves throughout the course of each year to try to build draft capital every single year. And so, you know, I like their approach to building a team, to building a sustainable playoff organization, and I think you have to just trust the process, as a one Sean McDermott has said on a few occasions.
Let's know what you think. We're going to get to your phone calls in a moment. We do approach now 4 o'clock today. I think it's 4 today is the deadline for teams to tag players, franchise and transition tag players. So you don't know if there's going to be a lot going on, but there is this from out west. The Rams reportedly have decided to put the franchise tag on safety LaMarcus Joyner. A non-exclusive franchise tag. That means he can negotiate a contract with another team. If he signs an offer sheet with another team, the Rams have a chance to match it. If they don't match it, they get two first-round picks. What this means, other than safety LaMarcus Joyner, is the Rams will not put a tag on Sammy Watkins. Watkins now will become a free agent next week, March 14th, the week from tomorrow, if no extension is agreed on before then. The legal tampering period starts next Monday, March 12th, meaning 31 other teams are free to negotiate a deal with Sammy Watkins. So the Rams make that move, Donald. I'll get your thoughts on that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And this, too, from this comes from Burgundy Blog, which is a it's a website, I guess, that deals with the Washington Redskins. Former Redskins tight end Chris Cooley says an agent, not necessarily Kirk Cameron's agent,
Kirk Cousins'
agent, mm-hmm. but an agent told him the Minnesota Vikings are ready to offer Cousins a three-year, $91 million fully guaranteed deal in free agency, $30 million a year. Which is what the number
3 years, 91, fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed. The fully guaranteed part's a little shocking.
That is a little shocking. Yeah. Man.
The 30 million part is not. That's what everybody anticipated, right? For
right. Yeah, no, that's not. And it's a shorter deal. But that fully guaranteed thing, you don't hear that in the NFL at all.
No.
You know?
This is one report. We don't know if it's.
If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm jumping on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that. Because in 3 years, I can actually. First of all, this dude has already been paid. He's been on the franchise twice.
Yeah.
And then now you're going to get and now you're going to give me 91 guaranteed over 3 years, and I can re-up again in 3 years, and then I can still probably, if I play good enough, get another big number. Oh yeah, I'm jumping all over that. And this is a team that was a game away from the Super Bowl. Yeah, if that's true, whoo, man, talk about backing up the Brinks truck.
We'll talk more about this and about the Bills free agency approach, the signing of Chris Ivory, all of that when we come back. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones on this Tuesday. Final day for tag designation, and already some news on that with the Rams putting the franchise tag on safety LaMarcus Joyner, leaving Sammy Watkins untagged and potentially open to the market. We'll see how that plays out. Donald, listen to this list. Just came out 15 minutes ago from NFL Stats. Notable free agent wide receivers this year. You ready?
Okay.
Sammy Watkins, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Paul Richardson, Mike Wallace, Danny Amendola, Jordan Matthews, Dante Moncrief. There's some talent there and kind of a cross-section of different types of receivers.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You can get what you want in that group.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, name the first ones.
Sammy Watkins,
mm-hmm.
Allen Robinson, Jaguars,
mm-hmm.
Marquise Lee,
mm-hmm.
good player. I like him a lot.
Right.
Paul Richardson, Mike Wallace, Danny Amendola.
So those first three are going to be guys that end up getting paid.
Those are premium guys.
Yeah, so to speak. Those guys would be guys that will end up getting paid, or some will say overpaid. But that's the market, and I know, yeah, you see how that works out? You know, this stuff really falls into place. The rest of the guys are guys that will still get some money, but they'll be able to fit into any scheme because you really have a bunch of different type of players in that group. I like that group.
Well, on the topic of overpaid, Greg Rosenthal, Around the NFL editor for NFL.com, put together a piece that went up today. Yesterday on NFL.com, he looked at the players most likely to be overpriced when free agency opens next Wednesday, March 14th, 4 p.m. Sammy Watkins, number one on his list. So now we know Watkins will not be tagged by the Rams. This is going to be very interesting. And let me say right at the outset, this is, if not the number one reason, near the top of the reasons why the Bills traded him away. Because of how are you going to keep him? How are you going to pay him? Watkins, last week at the Combine, Sean McVay, Rams coach, blamed himself, saying the team could have done a better job of scheming plays for Sammy Watkins. Mm-hmm. But Watkins finished third on the team behind, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp in terms of, you know, helping out the Rams. Now, he scored a lot of touchdowns. But here he is now, Watkins, just 24 years old, still got the great reputation. He has had some injuries, but he's got youth, he's got speed. He's a former first-round pick. In fact, it cost the Bills. The Bills spent two first-rounders to get him. 39 catches last year, 8 touchdowns. But what's the market for Sammy Watkins? And Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com says Watkins will be overpaid, mostly because of his reputation because of the potential. But, you know, he hasn't been great. 24 years old. He's young.
Yeah, he hasn't been great. And he is going to get overpaid. But I wonder if a team will say, look, we'll give you a shorter deal. And you'll get some money guaranteed. And you'll make, you know, big-time base salary. But we'll give you a two-year deal. Because we still need to see you actually do this on a consistent basis.
He won't have to settle for that, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're talking about a guy with 39 catches.
I know.
39 catches. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. really in any season until this season.
Here's his reputation way up here.
Right.
And here's his production.
I mean, you got the potential, and then you got the production. And it's like, what are you paying right now? Are you paying the guy for potential? I mean, he's not a draft pick right now. He has to prove. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. This year he stayed healthy on 39 catches. Yeah, he had a good amount of touchdowns, but he was the number three guy on the team. So are you going to pay him like a number one, a true number one, and give him a five-year deal for some ridiculous number? You can see it happening.
Somebody will. I believe somebody will.
You can definitely see it happen. I can see his market not being what he thinks his market should be right now. I could truly see that. I think teams will really take a double look at Sammy Watkins. I don't know about that. We'll give you a shorter deal for this type of money. We'll give you front-loaded cash so that you're satisfied with that. And then if you can prove that you can stay healthy for the next 2 years, we'll pay you long-term. Because you're 24 years old, 2 years, you'll be 26. We'll give you a five-year deal at that point. But you need to prove it.
What the Rams are going through, and, you know, they had a good option here. LaMarcus Joyner, a safety, they want the tag on him. What they're going through, though, is exactly where the Bills would be this year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if Sammy played last year for the Bills and caught 40 passes, 8 touchdowns. What would you do if you were the Bills, if you were still on the roster? You'd think, hey, this is a guy. We spent 2 first-rounders to get him. He's had some production. He's fought through some injuries. He's pretty good. But what would you do if you were the Bills? You might say, you know, we're not gonna pay him like an elite receiver because he has not produced like an elite receiver.
You haven't produced. You get paid in this, you get paid in this league for. I'm talking a second contract, typically for what you've done.
Yeah,
and he hasn't really done much of anything.
He's been okay.
He's been okay. So you should get paid like a receiver who's been okay. You shouldn't get paid. And I know. You know, the market dictates how much guys get paid and all of that stuff. And you do have a bunch of guys or a couple of guys every year that will get overpaid. But Sammy Watkins is that guy that I think a lot of teams, and you only need one, you know, which is all that matters. But I think a lot of teams will say, I'm not ready to just break the bank open for Sammy Watkins yet. I need to see it again. Quarterbacks, they're on a whole different level because the position is so important. I think wide receiver is a position where teams are like, we can get another guy that has at least been productive, or we can just draft one before we overpay a guy that we're actually paying based on potential. You might as well draft one if you're paying a guy based on potential. He has the potential to be very good.
Yes.
He hasn't produced.
Right, and he's had that potential for 4 years now.
Exactly.
What do you think about that? And Greg Rosenthal, NFL Network or NFL.com editor, he's got a list of free agents who could be overpriced. Sammy's on that list now because the Rams won't tag him. They're going to tag their safety. You know, you mentioned quarterbacks. Also on that list, Case Keenum on that list. He writes, if the Vikings don't quite trust what Keenum accomplished, it's as if, he says, the Vikings don't quite trust what Keenum has accomplished because his outstanding season came with an inordinate amount of dropped interceptions and throws that make conservative coaching staffs cringe. I think Case Keenum will be overpaid by somebody. I bet he is.
He's a quarterback.
Took him pretty deep into the playoffs.
He's a quarterback. So I can see this going both ways. I can see him really getting paid. I can see a contract like Jimmy Garoppolo, which is really a 2 or 3 year deal for some front loaded cash, or Tyrod Taylor, you know, which is a longer term deal that's really a 1 year deal with an option. I can see that. Or I can see teams just saying, "Look, we'll give you a 1 year deal. This is what you'll get paid, and if you prove it again for 2 years in a row, then we can pay you long term." But this has been a true definition of a journeyman quarterback. He's had more bad seasons than he's had great seasons. This year was a very good season for them. I haven't watched him close enough or really looked at his stats to see how many dropped interceptions, you know, that right. he had out there. But I would think that teams will I can see it going both ways, but the quarterback position is the position that teams typically overpay.
I can see him being overpaid, and yeah. I can definitely see Sammy Watkins being overpaid. Your thoughts on any of these issues? The phone line's open, 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 o'clock today. Albert Breer from NFL Network, from MMQB.SI.com. He's going to be joining us in at 2 o'clock, just about 25 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
Donald, we are 7 weeks away from the draft. And now the opinions come out. Everybody, you know, after the combine, everybody's a little more familiar with the prospects in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
SB Nation NFL compiled 6 of the worst NFL draft takes of all time. I mean, people say stuff before the draft, and for thank goodness people some people keep track of it. SB Nation writes, there have been instances in the past where it seemed impossible the person spewing certain takes could actually believe what they're saying is remotely true.
This first one that you're about to read is hilarious.
The worst draft takes. Here are some of the worst draft takes of all time as selected by SB Nation, NFL, and by readers. It says, brace yourself. This came from this first one about Cam Newton.
Yes.
And I remember this. Nolan Naraki, who was writing at the time for Pro Football Weekly, on Cam Newton, who was the first pick that year, right? Mm-hmm. Cam, and then Von Miller, and then Marcel.
Right.
Yeah. Nolan Naraki on Cam Newton. Quote, very disingenuous, has a fake smile, comes off as very scripted, and has a selfish me-first makeup. Nolan Naraki on Cam Newton. I remember that, and I remember how much traction there was about that. Cam Newton is taking his team to a Super Bowl. Is he my favorite player in the NFL? No. Is he the best quarterback in the NFL? No. But a fake smile comes off as scripted and a selfish me-first makeup?
That's hard. That sounds just like hate.
Yeah. Crazy.
I mean, how could you – you can really criticize a guy's game. You know, the guy can't throw. He can't do this. He can't do that. But for you to say that he has a fake smile – what are we talking about right
what
now?
What are we talking about?
You know, I mean, Cam Newton has done – yeah, he's had his mishaps in the media and different things down there in Charlotte. But he's done a lot for that community as well, you know, and his smile is genuine. He has a lot of fun out there with his teammates. Yeah, you could talk about he's complaining about getting hit and all of that stuff. I get that. But he does have a lot of fun with his teammates, and he's rejuvenated that city of Charlotte since he's been there. And so that's just crazy.
Here's another one, and this deals with the quarterback. And this goes back a little further. An anonymous AFC scout told USA Today years ago on Aaron Rodgers, I don't like him. He's a clone of Joey Harrington and Kyle Bowler. They all throw the same way. What have those guys done? Nothing. If you take him in the second round, fine. I don't think he's as good as the top quarterbacks coming out. Aaron Rodgers, he's talking about. A clone of Joey Harrington and Kyle Bowler. Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl ring, two NFL MVP awards, several big plays, career quarterback rating 103.8. Kyle Bowler and Joey Harrington, are you kidding me? That was an anonymous AFC scout about Aaron Rodgers back in his draft year.
Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the most talented quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right, he's the most talented quarterback in the NFL. Not the most decorated, but he has two MVPs. He has won a Super Bowl. So if he never does anything else, he could say that I at least won a Super Bowl. I won two NFL MVPs. And for me, he's the best thrower in the NFL right now. He can throw from all different angles, put the ball where he wants to put it. And obviously, there were a bunch of teams that thought the same way as that reporter because Aaron Rodgers sat in the green room. I remember sitting there watching him sit in the green room on draft day, and he sat. And then, you know, he got to Green Bay, and Green Bay took him, and he still had to sit for a couple of years. So he did a lot of sitting in the beginning of his NFL career, but it has worked out for the best for him.
Here's one. Jimmy Johnson coaching the Dolphins, 1998. These are the worst pre-draft takes of all time. Jimmy Johnson could have had Randy Moss, but they traded down from number 19 to 29. He thought a guy named Larry Shannon was just as talented. I don't remember Larry Shannon.
A guy named, exactly. You said it right there.
And he drafted Larry Shannon, 82nd in the draft. Jimmy Johnson told the Florida Sun Sentinel, with Larry Shannon coming to our team, by the way, he's probably a step faster than Randy Moss. He's bigger, he's taller, he's faster. People get carried away with Moss. I don't want to be talking about somebody else's player. I'm just going to make an example. Larry Shannon played in two NFL games. Randy Moss is going in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, that's really all
that's
you got to say.
Jimmy Johnson who made that.
Exactly. That's really all. And that's why we always talk about it. This thing is not really – I mean, there are a lot of smart people that do some dumb things on draft day and really think, I mean, wrong things about these players. Randy Moss, everybody except for Jimmy Johnson – thought that Randy Moss was one of the most talented players in that draft. And, you know, he has become one of the most talented players of NFL history. He was one of those guys that changed the perception of tall, lanky wide receivers in this league. I mean, you know, kids my son's age, 7 years old, are talking about, I just mossed him. You know, he's that guy.
Yeah. He's part of the language now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, he's in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
And so the other guy, whoever they draft, what's his name?
Larry Shannon.
Larry Shannon.
Two NFL
I mean, you started it off when you said a guy named Larry Shannon. Nobody knows who that is.
This one might be my favorite, too. Chris Baldwin, writing for Culture Map Houston. He said the Texans would regret taking J.J. Watt over Nick Farley. Here's the quote. Texans will rue the night they took pizza boy J.J. Watt over Nick Farley, Houston
pizza
lover.
Boy.
Yeah, apparently Watt was a former Pizza Hut delivery man. Nick Farley is, you know, kind of hung on in the NFL. J.J. Watt probably going to wind up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Texans will rue the night they took J.J. Watt over Nick Farley. Really?
Yeah.
These are bad takes.
Horrible takes.
And there's you know what? There's takes like that out there right now.
Oh, yeah. On these players. It's takes like this every year.
Yeah.
They might not be as bad as his smile is disingenuous, but, you know, they're always bad takes on guys. And that's why guys come into this league and really play with a chip on their shoulder. They don't forget that stuff, you know. And then all of a sudden you'll get the same reporter smiling in your face and wanting to ask you questions later in your career, you know, like how great of a player he was. Like, nah, I don't want to hear that, man. You tried to dog me when I was coming out of college. But, you know, I understand Nick Farley. I remember that draft. I think that was, what, 2000? What year was that?
Not too long ago, 11, 12?
Yeah, I think it was 11 because I remember I was in a draft party and Nick Farley had just gotten drafted. And I understand why people really liked Nick Farley coming out of Auburn, I believe.
Yep,
he was. Yeah, I remember. And he had a very good year that year. I think they had played in the national championship. I think they beat Oregon in the national championship.
Right.
And he was good. But there's one thing that you can measure it on a guy, and that's work ethic. You know, Nick Farley was a talented player. J.J. Watt had a different work ethic. And that is what has really carried him thus far. Now, he's had some injuries, and no one knows how long he'll be able to play, but that is what has carried him this far, is that work ethic. Talent, but then that work ethic is what continues to keep him at the top of the list in terms of defensive ends.
Got to stay healthy.
He's got to stay healthy.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take more phone calls. Your thoughts on the Bills signing of Chris Ivory, who, by the way, we think we might get him on the show in about 45 minutes. We got Albert Breer coming up after the top of the hour. Chris Ivory, new Bills running back, coming up maybe at 2:30. So come on back. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald Jones and I here from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy. Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. We had Steve Tasker on the show. We had Frank Reich, Indianapolis Colts head coach, on the show. How many head coaches do you think we've had other than Bills head coaches since you've been with us? A couple.
Really?
Didn't we?
I only remember
one.
Frank. I only remember Frank.
You might be right.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine why really another head coach would come on the show.
Carolina? Didn't we? Oh, we had, yeah.
We had Ron Rivera.
Yeah,
to talk about Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
It's got to be a real occasion.
Yeah,
you
but it's
have
cool
a real
when you
time.
Get a real NFL head coach on the show.
I saw Ron Rivera just randomly on the street walking by himself in Indianapolis. I walked by him. Like, what is he doing?
Say, I don't?
No, I just let him go, you know. Just let him go. Go ahead, coach. Do your thing. He's by himself. He looked like he was in his zen.
That's really the good thing about the combine, don't you think?
Because when you go out – I had a chance to go out at night. I know you didn't.
I was so sick, I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't. But I went out at night. You see coaches. You see everybody in certain spots out there. It's kind of like there are a couple of spots that, oh, yeah, this is the spot to be at tonight. And it's like everybody who's everybody in the NFL in one spot, whether it's agents, media people, coaches, players, everybody's in there.
Yeah. I did run into Doug Marrone, former Bills coach at the Combine.
At the Combine.
I had about a half-hour conversation.
It was a very interesting – before you ran into him – I ran into him with another colleague of ours here, and
it was
an interesting take. But I'll leave that one off air.
That was Mike Adamat.
Okay, Mike Adamat.
What? There's something about not shaking hands or something? What was it?
Yeah, it was
I had a fine conversation with him. First, our Twitter poll. The Bills have made a couple of interesting free agent signings. Today, signing the running back Chris Ivory. Last week, it was corner Vontae Davis. Two free agent signings already. This is our Twitter poll. What do the moves say about this Bills offseason approach? We're trying to figure it out here ourselves as well. On Twitter, 41% of you say they're going after smart, targeting players in free agency. 32% of you say they're going to be aggressive in free agent, continue to be aggressive. 24% of you say these signings allow them to focus on quarterback and front seven in the draft. 3% have something else in mind. What do you think? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A couple of calls. Bob in Penfield, New York. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the air.
Okay, as far as the worst trades ever or the worst draft picks ever, I have two, and unfortunately they're both from the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, we weren't talking about that, were we?
Well, I thought that was what the question was.
Which no. question?
No, but go ahead.
We our last segment we talked about some of the bad takes. Yeah.
Yeah. But go ahead, Bob. I'm curious now.
Well, how about Aaron Maben over Brian Arakipo?
Yeah. Remember? Yeah, that was a bad one. What's the other one?
Bad one. And here's the even worse one. How about Mike Williams going overall number four over anybody?
Two bad ones, yeah.
Yeah.
But I if I can, I got a couple of players. You know what? I watched a lot of the combine, and I've got three players that I would really love to see wear the Bills' colors.
Let's hear it.
The first one is Mike Gesicki, the tight end from Penn State. I know it's a need for the Bills, but the guy is going to be the next Gronk. I really believe that.
Okay.
Good player. Great athlete.
Yes. I love Shaq Griffin, too, the one-handed linebacker from Central Florida. You know what? He's fast. He's, you know, got 11.5 sacks. I thought that would be a cool pick. And the last one, Trey White recommended DJ Clark or DJ Shark from LSU.
Yeah.
Right. The wide receiver. He runs a 4.4. He's 6'2", 186, and he's a great citizen.
Yeah, I watched him actually Saturday. I was impressed with him. Shark.
Yeah, let's see how much pull Tre'Davious White has in the draft.
Well, you know what? I would believe the man. Obviously, he came in and played great for the Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean you know, well, the Bills organization won't be in the business of taking draft advice from the players, but they will listen to what they will probably ask Tre'Davious about his personality and all of that stuff. And then if they feel like, you know, he fits the scheme and what they want to run on film, then yeah, they'll go ahead and take him. He really showed out at the combine, ran a fast time. He had a very good day. One of the guys that you could really say has risen on drafts boards all across the league. We talked, I had a chance to talk to Chris Brown about it yesterday, and he said, you know, he was talking about Tre'Davious when he was down at the Senior Bowl, and DJ Chark really had, he started out the week slow, but then he really started to play well, and then he played well in the game. And so, yeah, he could be a kid that comes off the board now, second, third round.
Did you and Brownie talk yesterday about Shaquin Griffin, the linebacker?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, one of the great stories, really, not just of the combine, but in recent years in the draft, I think.
You know, it was amazing because every year you have these stories that come out, guys that really perform. And this year it was Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And Saquon Barkley was – everybody's talking about Saquon Barkley. And then Shaquin Griffin benches 20 reps. And then everybody's like, wow, this guy was able to bench 20 reps with the prosthetic hand.
Yeah.
You know, which is probably something that he's gotten used to over the years. He probably did it that way. He had to. I'm sure they made that for him in college, and he's been able to deal with that. But then for him to come out
4.38
and run a 4.38 really was like, and I remember seeing it on, I didn't see it because my son was wanting to do a bunch of other things, but on Twitter.
Your son didn't want to watch a combine?
No, he wanted to do other things. And
okay.
I'm like, all right, man,
something wrong with
it. We can do other stuff. That's fine. He wanted to play basketball, and that's what we were doing. What's wrong with him? He wants to play, man.
Yeah,
it's just
watch
like,
combine.
What? It's like, daddy's home. Daddy, let's play. I don't care about anything else, you know? So I see it on my phone, and it's like, oh, man, it might have even came up as an alert, like an ESPN alert. Shaquin Griffin runs a 4.38, and I'm like, what?
Was that Sunday? Yeah, it was Sunday, right?
It was Sunday, yeah.
I remember that. I did the same thing. I was like, what?
Yeah, what just happened?
Yeah.
This dude, 4.38. And so, you know, that right there is just – that's amazing in itself. And then the rest of his numbers were great. And then you look at his film, and the guy has really – he really played well.
Yeah.
He had, like, what, 11 sacks or something like that? You know, it's not something – he's been dealing with this since 4 years old. So it's not, like, new to him where he has to get used to it. He's really – and he said this. He's really learned how to use it. you know, and use it to his better. And Chris and I were talking about this yesterday. The biggest thing was it. I mean, the 4-3-8 was amazing, but a lot of people felt like, because he plays fast on film, a lot of people felt like he was going to run fast. Not that fast, but
yeah,
he was going to run fast. The biggest thing was the fact that he actually caught the ball in those drills.
Yeah.
You know, he figured out a way to really catch the ball with one hand, and that right there, I think, solidified him as third, fourth round, somewhere in that range, he's going to come off the board.
We're going to talk about the combine with our next guest next hour, Albert Breer from the MMQB. That's coming up in the next hour, the final hour of the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NEPA Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills busy today. They've signed a veteran running back, a free agent, Chris Ivory, former New York Jet, former Jacksonville Jaguar. Bills announced they've agreed to terms with Chris Ivory on a two-year contract. NFL.net, NFL.com says the deal is worth $5.5 million in base salary, $3.25 million guaranteed in the first year, and could be worth up to $6 million max. Jacksonville cut Ivory last month, which made him available to the Bills. Right now, 223-pounder, he'll be a power complement to LeSean McCoy in the Bills' run-first offense. Chris Ivory scheduled to join us live in our studio today, coming up about 30 minutes from now. Philadelphia Eagles are said to want at least a first-rounder when it comes to their quarterback, Nick Foles. NFL Network says that the Eagles are asking for a first-round pick at the very least. They do not seem intent on trading Foles, according to Ian Rappaport. Muhammad Wilkerson, former Jets defensive lineman, has his first visit set up. NFL Network reports that Wilkerson's first free agent trip is expected to be with the Green Bay Packers. The Jets announced last week they informed Wilkerson of his release. He was officially released yesterday. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are not going to use the franchise tag on Allen Robinson, the wide receiver. They've informed him they will not be using the franchise or transition tag on him. Out west, the Los Angeles Rams will put the franchise tag on safety LaMarcus Joyner. They will not use the tag on wide receiver Sammy Watkins. Buffalo Sabres 5-3 win last night against Toronto at home. They've now won 19 of their last 23 home games against the Maple Leafs. Sabres now Sam Reinhart with 23 points in his last 22 games. Buffalo takes on Calgary at KeyBank Center tomorrow. College basketball, the St. Bonaventure Bonnies await the start of the Atlantic 10 tournament, but they found out today that senior point guard Jalen Adams is the A-10's co-player of the year, along with Davidson senior forward Peyton Aldridge. Adams also a member of the All-Conference first team, in addition to his teammate, senior guard Matt Mobley. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. Hope to have Chris Ivory in studio with us coming up at the bottom of this hour at 2:30. But joining us right now.
In studio?
Yeah, I think so.
You are the man, Murph.
Yeah, he's coming in.
Or maybe Jay's the man. You're not really.
I had nothing
our
to do
producer.
With it.
Our producer. All right, cool. You've been out here with me, so I know you didn't have anything to do with it.
I had nothing to do with it. We hope to have Chris Ivory with us. But joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, that's a pretty good guest, too, Albert Breer, who writes about football, was at the Combine last week. Albert Breer from mmqb.si.com. Albert, we saw you running down the streets of Indianapolis last week. Were you there with me, Donald?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I was in the car going somewhere. You were keeping up with it. We saw you running the streets of Indy last week, Albert.
Yeah, I'm very slowly, I'm sure. Yeah.
Were you running from the swarm of fans that were trying to get some info from you?
I'll tell you what. It was the only way I could keep my energy going. Lots of late nights and early mornings there. Yeah. So pull over and say hello next time. It's not hard to keep up with me.
Yeah, Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for the MMQB, the Peter King website. Hey, I know you've written a lot about the combine. We want to ask you about that and some of the quarterback issues out there. But what do you make? We're asking our listeners this today. Bill signed Chris Ivory today, signed Vontae Davis last week. A couple of interesting veteran free agent signings. What do you see there, Albert? What do you think the Bills are up to?
Well, you know, I think finding a way to take care of a couple of these before true free agency opens as part of this. Obviously, you know, depth behind Shady is, you know, an important need for the Bills. And I mean, look, I don't think there's a huge need to wait this year. You look at what's out there in free agency, and it's about as thin a group as I can remember. And part of the reason why is the cap keeps going up, and teams have more ability to hold on to their own guys. You know, and more often now you're seeing. They're seeing players getting signed while they're still on the rookie deals. and that makes the numbers more affordable going forward for teams. And so you look out there in the market, you know, I think what you're seeing is a lot of guys with strength attached and a lot of guys where there are very clear reasons why they made it free agency. In the past, we've seen where teams have been in a jam from a cap standpoint, and maybe they've got to let a really good player go. You're seeing less and less of that now, and now it's more often than not, there's a very clear reason why a guy makes the free agency. And, you know, look at a lot of the top guys. I don't think it's hard to figure out a lot of them.
You know, Albert, when you look at the running back position in particular and the Bills signing Chris Ivory, as he came available early, so he gets signed before free agency really hits. But I'd have to believe that the running back position, those guys might think about free agency a little bit differently because teams are not paying these running backs big money. I don't care who you are. LeGarrette Blount thought he was going to get paid, and he didn't get paid. He still ended up in the right position or the right team. But these teams are drafting these guys fifth, sixth, seventh round and saying, well, we can live with that, you know, and we'll give you a one-year, $1 million deal. So for a guy like Chris Ivory, it's like, man, the deal that he got, yeah, I'll go ahead and lock that one in.
Yeah, I mean, look at the, you know, all you got to do is look at the Super Bowl, you know, and the Eagles, you know, the three backs they had, one of them they traded for in midseason, Jay Ajayi. Corey Clement was an undrafted free agent. You mentioned LeGarrette Blount coming in off the scrap heap. And then on the other side, the Patriots, James White initially was a fourth-round pick. Now they did reward him, but he was a fourth-round pick. Deion Lewis was a scrap heap pickup who they had on a low-money deal. Rex Burkhead was a guy who no one really wanted last offseason. And so, you know, I think what you're seeing there is not that it's not any sort of indictment on guys who get to their mid-20s and are great players or guys who are capable of going at the top of the draft. It's that it's not that difficult to find reasonable answers to the position. And I think this could actually wind up hurting a Saquon Barkley in the draft. You know, the fact that, yeah, the Jaguars got a great player last year in Leonard Fournette, but the Chiefs got the NFL's rushing champion in the third round. You know, it's just there seems now to be an abundance of ways to fill that position. And because of that, more and more teams are less willing to invest high-end assets in it. You know, it's – Where I think 5-6 years ago you saw maybe diminishing talent in the position, that's not what it is anymore. There are lots of good players at that position, and that's part of the problem for those guys is that, you know, it's just not one of these things where you look at it and you say, it's going to be very, very difficult to find an answer at that spot the way you would with, say, a pass rusher or a left tackle or a cover corner or certainly a quarterback.
Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for MMQB, is on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Albert, Donald and I had a little minor disagreement a few minutes ago about Sammy Watkins, who, you know, how much, what's his value going to be out there now? Now that he won't be tagged, will he get like elite receiver money or something less than that?
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's going to be willing to pay him, you know, what the elite receivers are making. In fact, his best option may wind up being to be doing some sort of one-year deal somewhere and having a good, healthy year. I mean, that may be in Los Angeles. You know, that may be going back to a place that he's familiar with, you know, where he can put a really good year on tape and then hit the market again next year. He's, of course, still really young, so he'd have the flexibility to do that. You know, but if you look at the receiver position, they're all guys with strings attached. Dante Moncrief's another one who's a talented guy, you know, but the production hasn't matched his talent. Same thing, you know, sort of in the same way. You know, the production hasn't matched the talent with Sammy. Allen Robinson's a free agent, was a very, very good young player over his first 3 years in the league. Had a great training camp coming into this year, but he's coming off of a torn ACL now. Terrell Pryor is another one who's, you know, an uber talent who is still sort of an enigma as a player. And so you look down the list and you see what the receiver group looks like, and it's just it's a bunch of guys with strings attached. And so I think Sammy could be at the top of that group. I just don't know that anybody's going to be willing to give him some sort of monster deal. And that's not to say that he won't have interest. I do believe that he'll have plenty of interest. You know, but if he's thinking that he's going to come away from this, you know, paid the way that, you know, say Antonio Brown's paid or Julio Jones is paid, you know, I think he's got another thing coming. Mm-hmm. Now, could he wind up getting a deal worth $10, $11 million a year somewhere? Yeah, I could see that. but I don't think he'll be rewarded at the top of the market, which is why I think it isn't the craziest thing in the world to think maybe the best option for him, as talented as he is to go do a one-year deal somewhere and try to put the best year you possibly can together and then try and hit free agency again next year.
It sounds like you're talking like a Alshon Jeffrey type of deal.
Right, or Jeremy Maclin. You know, Jeremy Maclin did that in and I think, Allen Robinson would be the comparison there, but Jeremy Maclin obviously was a really good young receiver with the Eagles. And 2013, Chip Kelly's first year, he blows out his ACL.
Yeah.
And he winds up, going back to the Eagles on a one-year deal and had a great year in 2014, put up huge numbers for Chip, and then was able to hit the free agent market in 2015. And I believe he got something like 55 over 5.
Right.
And so, there is some good logic in doing that sort of thing. It's a dice roll. You're giving up a little bit of security for long-term gain. But if you've got confidence in yourself and think you're ready to turn a corner as a player, it can certainly be worth it. Whereas, if you have that big year and you maybe took something a little less than you would have liked, you're locked in for 4 or 5 years, then obviously you won't have a chance to hit the market again for quite some time.
Albert, if you're saying Sammy Watkins is at the top of the list and he's not going to really break the bank, and you might have some of these guys actually end up getting paid, but if you're a team like the Bills who need some wide receiver help, you might be looking on the free agent market for wide receiver, at least for some wide receiver help, you can get one or two of these guys for a lot cheaper than other years.
Yeah, and, there could be bargains out there. Like I said, it's not like the guys that are going to be out there don't have talent.
Mm-hmm.
I know the receiver position is obviously a big need for Buffalo. It's not like the guys that are out there don't have ability. Terrell Pryor, really flashed 2 years ago for Cleveland, and it looked like he might become something. Allen Robinson, I think, if you go back to 2015, you would have said he's one of the 5 or 6 best young receivers in football, and you would have thought it would be crazy that he'd make it to the market a couple of years later. And so it's not like these guys that are going to be out there don't have ability. It's there. It's just, with each of them, there's something you're going to have to get comfortable with. There's a string attached there that you're going to have to be okay with. And so, I'm not saying you can't find a diamond in the rough here. It's just, There isn't anything that's close to perfect out there.
Hey, Albert, last thing, and I know we got to let you go, but you referred to last week as Combine Week. This week is Kirk Cousins Week. Is that the way you see it leading into the free agency next week?
Yeah, there's no question. Look, I think one of the biggest questions, of course, at Combine was where Kirk Cousins is going to go. And I think as much as anything else, it spoke to how rare this situation is where – you have a quarterback that's both young enough to appeal to a team that's in a rebuild like the Jets and experienced enough to and accomplished enough to appeal to a team that's in win-now mode like the Broncos or Vikings. And so such a unique thing. You don't see guys, that have that sort of resume hitting the market at that position. And it'll be interesting to see what happens over the coming days and then obviously in the next week. Yeah, but I think the Jets are very much at this point. I would say the Jets are in there. The Vikings are in there. I know the Broncos still want to be in there. I'm not sure they're willing to go financially where they need to go. And certainly, I think there's going to be fallout from there. Where once Kirk signs, well, then a bunch of teams are going to have to go to the backup plan. So for the Vikings, it could mean AJ McCarron or Case Keenum. For the Cardinals, it could mean Case Keenum. There are lots of dominoes that are there that need to fall in the quarterback market that are going to affect your Keenums, your McCarrons, your Bradfords, your Bridgewaters. And then after that, of course, all of that's going to affect what happens in the draft and what teams go into the draft with a need. And so it's definitely one of the more interesting off seasons as far as quarterback movement. Or what potential quarterback movement that I can remember.
We'll be following, Albert. Thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us here today. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for MMQB, also a host of the MMQB podcast, joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Coming up next, Chris Ivory, brand-new Buffalo Bills running back. He'll be right in studio with us when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show on this Tuesday afternoon. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined in studio by the brand new Buffalo Bill. Happy to have running back Chris Ivory with us. Chris, congratulations on the signing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to Buffalo. What got you here so early? You were just let go last week by Jacksonville, and here you are a week later, already signed up.
Well, for starters, I was glad they were able to release me when they did. That way I was able to get out early and you know, get this opportunity to come out here and visit. But what got me the most coming here to visit was the vibes were good. I like the vibes and the atmosphere, and it just felt right. It just felt right for me.
What kind of vibes do you get? There's no players around right now.
Well, I'm speaking more on coaches. You know, I met most of the offensive coaches, and everybody just seemed cool. I mean, but I know how that could change up real quick.
It could definitely it can change up. They seem like pretty upfront type of guys. Like, you know, they would tell you the situation. This is what you'll probably be doing here. I could be wrong.
No, I agree.
Everybody's different, but yeah. They seem like that type of
guy. Yeah, it just felt good, man. It felt real good.
What did they tell you about the role they have in mind? Obviously, Shady McCoy is here and expected to be the number one. So what do you think they have in mind for you?
I guess, you know, when his time is up, you know, I'll come in and, you know, take care of business and do what I need to do at that given time. You know, I'm going to be the guy that can get in between the tackles and get those tough yards.
I was just about to ask you, how do you describe yourself? People describe you as having a bruising type of style, but do you feel like, you know, you got some juke to you, you catch the ball, you do a lot of different things?
I feel like I got a little finesse. I mean, I'm not, you know,
shady
finesse, yeah. But I do have hips and I do have good vision. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that seems to be underrated, but you know, I get the job done.
You know Shady at all? You ever dealt with him? Talk to him?
No, I mean, I've met him, but I don't know him. I met him like 3 years ago at a signing, and that's the only interaction that I've had with him.
Y'all did a signing together?
It was like a big signing with a lot of athletes. Darren Sproles was there. He actually introduced me to him. And like, what's up, boom.
Yeah. Little running back vibes.
Yeah.
All right, got you.
What do you know about this Bills team and the fact that they've – you know, they led the league in rushing 2 years, and I think, six this last year in rushing yardage. This is a team that likes to run the ball. There could be chances for you here to get the carries.
Yeah. Well, what caught my attention was, one, just playoff contenders this year. And I did notice that, you know, with O-line, that we have a good O-line here. And I think this team is moving on an upward rise.
Playoff contenders, and you came from a playoff contender deep into the playoffs with Jacksonville last year. What was that like for you? You played a little against Buffalo, a little against Pittsburgh, but they were rolling, and they found that they wanted to use Fournette, I guess, last year, Jacksonville, more than anybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you?
For me, I mean, it was a tough situation. You know, as a competitor, you always want to be out there, and I know that I could contribute, but, you know, for them, it was more than just being able to contribute. You know, they wanted to win, which is understood. But, you know, he got in there, he did his thing, man, and you know, all I could do is just sit back and be ready and just wait until my number was called.
Now, you were on the Jets team that lost here, right, and didn't make it into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which had a very good run. And then you go down to Jacksonville, 2016. You guys were 3-13. And then you turn it back around and you get into the playoffs. What was that feeling like for you personally?
It was a good feeling, especially coming from 3-13. You know, most turnarounds, they don't happen that quick.
Mm-hmm.
But
not like that.
Nah. But we had a culture change, had a mentality change down in Jacksonville. And I think that's something that changed the way guys played in Jacksonville. And I think that's what changed it around.
As you speak about the culture, did they talk to you at all about the culture here and how they've, I guess, shifted it a little bit, but they're trying to continuously change the culture from what it was?
Yeah, that's about as much as I know that I know the culture is trying to change, and we expect to continue to win.
What I want to go back a couple of years, and Donald mentioned the time with the Jets. You had a 1,000-yard rushing year with the Jets before you went to Jacksonville. Are you still that same guy? Do you have that in you, do you think, if you got that much playing time and that many carries?
I think I still have it in me. You know, for me, I mean, this is my opinion, and just looking at, you know, a lot of stats in the past and currently, you know, most guys that do have those 1,000-yard seasons, they're getting over 100 carries. They're getting into the 200.
Yeah, you're
plus
like 250.
Carry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, I mean, it could be done, but it's tough to do it with 100-some carries.
Sure.
You have to have 200-plus carries, and on top of that, just have the consistency as far as having the just being able to get in and get a feel for the game.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to you off air, and like I said, I had a chance to speak to Stephon Gilmore from the Patriots this morning. And he talked about the long haul it was to get to the Super Bowl. He said he'd never been as sore. And for you, on the flip side of it, you guys obviously didn't make it all the way, but you didn't get as many carries in the playoffs. And so I guess you had more time to rest a little bit.
Yeah.
You had that 1,000-yard season where you had almost 250, but the last 2 years only 100, a little bit over 100 uh-huh. carries. So you got to feel like, man, I feel good, man. I haven't been carrying the ball like that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good. I do feel good. But, you know, I still have my share loads where, you know, I've had my times of aches. But overall, I do feel good.
Hey, Chris, you're, what, about a month away from coming back here and joining the rest of the team for off-season workouts. What are you going to do in the next month?
Well, next month I'm going to try to enjoy it as much as I can. And on top of that, just make sure I'm ready and I'm in shape when it's time to report.
Where you live now?
Jacksonville, still.
Oh, so you live in Jacksonville. All right.
Well, soak up some of that sun before you come up here.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Chris, thanks for this. Good luck to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Chris Ivory, Bills, brand new running back, signed a 2-year deal with the Bills today and just ready to come here and back him up, back up Shady, LeSean McCoy. Hey, our Twitter poll today deals with the signing of Chris Ivory and, of course, last week's signing of Vontae Davis. Two free agent signings over the last week for the Buffalo Bills. What do those moves say about the Bills and their offseason approach? That's what we're asking on Twitter. You can weigh in on this or give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. 41% of you say those two signings indicate that the Bills are interested in being smart about it, targeting free agents. 31% of you say you think they're going to continue to be aggressive in free agent signings. 25% of you say you think it means the focus in the draft will be on quarterback in front seven. 3% of you say something else. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I think it means all of the above, Donald. I really do. What
yeah,
do you think?
It's all of the above, but I think it's smart and targeted. I think last year they were the same way, smart and targeted guys. They didn't have much money to spend last year, but they got the guys that they wanted, you know, in a Micah Hyde, which Micah might have had a market out there. Some people knew he was good. Others didn't. They really liked him, and they went after him. Steven Hauschka, another guy, you know, and everybody was saying, oh, man, you got to get better at this position. No, they go after the guys that they really want, and they have a certain value on the position, on the player, and they do a good job of getting them here. And I think that's the biggest thing is from last year on, it's always going to be smart, targeted free agents and not necessarily, oh, that's the biggest name out there. Let's break the bank open and get that guy.
When Chris Ivory says he liked the vibe here, and there are no players here, very few, a couple of injured
players.
Vontae
said the same thing.
Did he?
Yeah.
What are they picking up on? Is it the radio TV show that we have? Is that what they
– You know, he also said, you know, that can change. But when you come in – when you come in and you speak to the coaches and you speak to the GM, sometimes maybe the owner, depending on what team, it's the same thing as recruiting. And you hear kids, when they select certain schools to go to, they're like, man, I just got a good vibe, which is terrible because it's like, well, what about your education? But here, yeah, you want to get a good vibe for what they're saying. You want to get a good vibe for if you feel like they really like you or – you're just signing me as a body. Now, he got over $3 million in guarantees, so you know he's going to be here, and you know he's going to contribute. I'm sure they said to him, look, this is going to be your role. You know, LeSean McCoy is the number one. You're going to get some carries. We like to run the ball here. I'm sure you've seen the stats. You know this is a top 10 running team in the league in 3 years in a row. You can see the offensive line that we have. We're going to – who knows if, you know, we'll try to get better at that as well. And so you'll have a great opportunity to come here and really, for lack of a better term, rejuvenate your career, because the last two years he's only been at 439, 382. You know, only 100 carries, but he went from 1,000 down to 439. And so I'm sure he wants to really come in and rejuvenate his career.
And I'm sure, and he mentioned it, and we talked to him briefly off the air, but the timing of it, you want to get signed before the gates open up next Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's got to be, from a player standpoint, there's got to be a real advantage to just getting signed.
It really is.
Before the doors open and everybody's out there.
If you're a guy who's been released, yeah, you want to get locked up. If you're a guy who this is your first time hitting free agency, you had a great year, you're about to get your big second contract, you're like, I want to hit the market. I want to see what it's like out there, you know, and see what my market is out there. And maybe the team that you were just leaving has offered you something or not. But most of the time, those guys want to hit it and see what it's like. Go on my visits and see what that's like and see how much these teams are really offering me, because that's an experience in itself. It's similar to recruiting, but it is an experience in itself. When you're a guy who's been released from a team, you didn't necessarily have your last 2 years been the best years. The same with Vontae Davis. You're like, I want to get locked up, because once that thing opens up, teams are they might go in a different direction.
All of a sudden you're getting signed in June.
Exactly. And you don't want to be that person, because the doors are not always opening in this league for guys. And so if a door opens and a team is like, look, we really like you, we're going to give you this amount of money, and I just got released, let me go ahead and lock this up.
That's why I think both these signings, that's why it's our Twitter poll, because the fact that they signed Chris Ivory today, signed Vontae Davis last week, I don't know what it means. I think it indicates that Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, the football department here, has a plan, and that plan obviously included getting some veteran help at a couple of positions that, you know, if you sat down a month ago and said, here's our needs, cornerback would have been on that list probably, especially with E.J. Gaines and him hitting the free agent market next week. Backup running back would have been on that list. That's not on the list of needs really anymore. And they've signed a couple of veteran guys and spent a little money to do it. Not a lot, but a little bit of money to do it. I just find them kind of fascinating signings even before free agency opens. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's a smart way to approach it, approach free agency, because you're getting guys, you're filling holes on your team without having to overpay these guys.
Yeah.
So once you get the free agency, even from the team standpoint, there might be a guy who you really like. Well, he might have 10 other teams that really like him. And those 10 other teams might offer him a lot more money than you do, even if it's a guy who got released, you know, because some guys get released just because of casualty numbers. And so it's the smart way to go about it, because you get good or solid players at a cheaper price.
Let us know what you think. The phone line's open, 803-0550, and toll free, 1-888-550-2550. What did those free agent signings say about the Bills' offseason approach, or anything else you'd like to talk about? DJ calling from Hamburg. Hello, DJ. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Good show.
Thanks, DJ.
This down for me. I got a little thought. I don't know how you look at it. Trade down to get Bartley for a first, second, two first or more. Go to a power running game. Imagine the defense of dealing with these three guys, Shady, Bartley, and Ivory. this would also give Shady the deserving rest he needs to play at a high level into his career. So play 2-3 years, and you got your running back of the future. Then draft a quarterback at 22. Hope he's the answer to our prayers, so that Pettiman becomes the quarterback that McDermott hopes he will. Let Tyrod be the bridge quarterback until that's realized, and go out and get that speed receiver through the draft or through free agency.
Man,
that's
I wish it was that easy. That was a good plan.
That's a plan.
But you're talking about, I mean, to get Saquon Barkley, you probably need to trade up to number one.
He won't be there at four. He won't be there.
He's gone in the top three picks. If he doesn't go number one, there's no way the Giants or the Colts let him get. Those are two teams that truly need running backs. They might be teams that are, like, calling Cleveland right now. Like, hey, can we jump up one spot or two spots just to get Saquon Barkley? And you're talking about going 21 to 22 to number one and only give up one first-round pick? Oh, no, you're giving up both. You're giving up next year's first-round pick and everything.
Maybe. Yeah. Interesting thought, though. Thanks. That was a plan, though. He had a plan.
Yeah, he had a plan.
And part of the plan was for him was Tyrod as the bridge quarterback. I think more and more Bills fans are coming around to, and I don't know if I agree with that, but I do detect that more and more fans are. Maybe it came last week when both Bean and McDermott said we're gonna honor that $6 million contract bonus that you know that comes up March 16th. But since that time last week, what was that last Wednesday? I think they said that at the combine. I get the sense that more and more Bills fans are like, all right, We can keep Tyrod around, right? Did you notice that at all?
No, I notice it. I see a lot of people saying and calling up the show, tweeting us, you can just keep Tyrod as the bridge. I don't agree. I think you need to get better at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
So I would like to see them get better. And I don't. For me, I don't know how you get better. And that's the biggest thing. I don't know how you get better because when you look at the free agent market, you got the one guy in Kirk Cousins you know is going to get paid. AJ McCarron is going to get paid. Case Keenum is going to get paid. Those are the top three guys. After that, it's like, who do you want to bring in here that you can feel like is going to make you better and also stay healthy?
And by the way, how does AJ McCarron belong in that group? Guy who's played, what, seven
I have,
games?
I have NFL no clue.
You just threw him in there.
I know I threw him in there, but that's just because Keenum, I know how the NFL works, and these teams need quarterbacks so bad. They're like, oh, man, he's the shiny new toy. He's 27, and he's only played five games. But those five games, he's looked good, and there have been quarterbacks that have played a couple of good games. Brock Osweiler, he played seven and went and got paid.
Every other free agent quarterback at least has a resume you can look at.
I know.
Bradford, Keenum, Bridgewater, McCown, you know, last year especially, Matt Moore, Chase Daniel, Drew Stanton, they have a resume. AJ McCarron has no resume. He has nothing to look at.
He has five games. and he's going to get paid. I have no clue how he belongs. But, like I said, there have been other quarterbacks that have gotten paid. It hasn't worked out for the most part for those teams. Flynn, you look at Brock Osweiler. I mean, there's probably a lot more that are not coming to my mind right now. But he's going to get paid. And it's going to be something like a Tyrod Taylor deal, you know, $15 million. It's going to be 4 years. It's really a one-year deal with an option, and if you play well, then we'll pick up the option. But he's going to end up somewhere, and then the rest of the guys will fall into place. I don't know which one of these quarterbacks you could say, well, that guy really makes us a lot better. And then you can't say that about anybody in the draft because, quite honestly, they haven't done it here in the NFL yet. And so that's where the hang-up becomes, and I'm sure Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean are thinking the same thing. You know, which one of these guys – really makes us that much better? Is it smart for us to really move on from Tyrod Taylor right now? And then they have to really march down to Boca Raton and say, look, we're going to have to pay this $6 million roster bonus, but then we want to trade him. But his $6 million is going to him, so thanks.
Let's go to a couple of phone calls here. Milton in Buffalo is on the air with us. Hello, Milton. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good.
It's your boy, Milt. Bills fan since 84, you know what I mean? But I heard the other guy talk about trading up. I wanted to know your expertise about what do you feel about trading. Like, if somebody comes and try to get one of our picks and trade down and get more picks.
That's a way to do it. I don't know. Are you suggesting the Bills should do that, or you think they will do that? What do you think, Milton?
Yeah, I'm saying I think if it's something that's good, like, okay, somebody going to trade, like, early in the second round for like one of our first rounds or late in the first round, and we pick up an additional second round and third round pick, I think that'd be good.
That's what they did last year, traded down, and it worked. You know, it was pretty successful for them, so I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. Now, sitting at 21-22, I swear every time I do something like this, I'm wrong, and I would be wrong. I doubt that they would trade back, but who knows? They could. They could trade out of it in that first the 21st pick, they could trade back and try to pick up some more picks. Who knows? You never know with these guys.
No, you don't know. You think you know, but you just don't know. Call here from Jeff in Casadega, New York. Hello, Jeff. Welcome. You're on the air with us. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi. Yeah, hi, John. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to just kind of make a small couple comments here. Personally, I'm looking at, you know, they're talking about the Bills maybe trying to draft up and this and that, try to get a quarterback. If they were to do that, I mean, I don't know who they can grab, but let's say if it came down to Darnold or it came down to Rosen and they had the choice, I would go with Rosen. I've always been a big USC fan, and if you look back at the quarterbacking, USC's fantastic in college. Carson Palmer, he was already in the NFL. Mark Sanchez was a bust. Leinart was a bust. Barkley, he's pretty much a bust. And it's like, what about Darnold?
Isn't Jimmy Clausen a USC guy?
Kind of scares me, you know, as far as that. And myself, personally, I'd almost try to keep it status quo, maybe go after Mason Rudolph and bring in somebody. If they could bring someone in like Case Keenum or something, and then, you know, obviously Tyrod leaves. and, you know, just then go from there and try to fill the other holes that they really need, you know, also, and see what happens in next year's draft. And, you know, we'll go from there and, you know, see what you guys think. Thank you.
All right. What do you think? I don't know. You know, going to the combine, I would have been more open to that than I am now, because having seen those quarterbacks at the combine, impressed with Rosen, impressed with Josh Allen, maybe not as one of the top five, but impressed with the way he threw the ball, impressed with Baker Mayfield. Now I'm thinking, yeah, I could live with, you know, those three, or maybe even Sam Darnold as the Bills quarterback. What do you think, Donald?
I mean, I could live with them, and what I'm – what I'm thinking, if you're saying you can live with those guys, and this kind of goes in line with this tweet I got from New Age Democrat. I guess you got the same tweet. in the end, I think the QB decision comes down to your willingness to be worse. Are you okay with being worse off with the potential for a big reward? I am. I doubt McDermott and Bean are, though. And that's a question. That's a
good question.
You know, because if Central you draft question. One of these rookies, you might be looking at having a tough season in the beginning, especially if you're saying we need you to start right now.
Right.
You could be looking at having a tough season, but you could be looking at having a big reward, and that's a franchise quarterback for the next 10, 15 years.
I believe, by the way, on a different topic, 4 o'clock, I think, is the deadline for franchise tag to be used, and a couple of reports, Ian Rappaport and our buddy Albert Breer, who's just on the line with us, both say the Steelers have officially tagged Le'Veon Bell with the franchise tag. Now, what happens there?
He won't sign it.
He won't sign it.
No. He didn't want to sign it last year. He came in, a week after?
Here's the latest quote from Le'Veon Bell yesterday. Quote, I just have to decide if I'm going to play when the time comes. He said retirement could be an option if no long-term deal is struck. Now, he doesn't have to make any decision soon. The franchise tag gives him about 4 more months to work on a long-term contract. That would be July 16th. You don't think he'll sign by July 16th? You don't think they'll work out something?
No. I mean, I think by July 16th, because he's looking at $14 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's tough to say, all right, I'm going to walk away from this $14 million that I got right here for 1 year, $14 million. I'm going to walk away from that. He's still young. He still wants to play. And so he's talking retirement, but I think that's a bluff. I think at the end of the day, he will come in once he has to sign it. And make that $14 million and maybe negotiate a contract throughout the course of the season, or if not, move on next year.
Let's take another call or two. Mark calling from Rochester. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Man, I am so tired about talking about quarterbacks. So I'm going to give you guys a different throat.
Okay.
So this is more up your alley.
My alley.
Looking at wide receivers that maybe we might want to bring in here, other than that Brown kid from the Cardinals, there's a guy on the Minnesota bench that seems that he just can't get on the field. I don't know if he can't compete with Diggs and with Thielen or not. But, Donald, what do you think about the Treadwell kid that went to Mississippi, got a bad injury his senior year, but is he available that maybe the Bills might want to take a look at? And what other wide receivers do you think we could bring in here with – I'm not shot up in, you know, with any of the big ones that are in the draft this year. You have a couple, but – they're not going to be around for us to pick. What available receivers do you feel available out there in the free agency market that we may be able to pick?
Whew, all right. I have to look that up real quick.
There was a list earlier today on Twitter of a couple of the prominent wide receivers. You're talking about Laquon Treadwell, who actually Mike Zimmer talked about last week at the Combine. They said he needs to make a jump. Just 21 catches in his first 2 seasons, Laquon Treadwell, former first-rounder. Rick Spielman also said they're hoping to see Treadwell make a jump next season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not available. He's not a free agent.
Yeah, when you look at
– plan?
I'm sorry?
Is he in the Minnesota Viking plan? Because
they talked about him. You know, Spielman and Zimmer talked about him.
Wow.
They said – here's the quote from Spielman from last week. It's going to be a big year for him, hoping to see that jump this year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like they've turned the page on him.
I think we talked about this last week. There were a couple of guys. No, not Treadwell. But other guys. You know, I'm interested in a guy like John Brown from the Cardinals. A guy like Tyler Gabriel, another fast guy from the Falcons. You know, I want those types of guys. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott come from Carolina, and they like big, tall receivers in Carolina. They've had a history of drafting those guys, but they typically have a burner as well. And so I wouldn't be shocked if they drafted a big, tall receiver. But then they signed a burner like a John Brown or one of these guys in free agency. And I think they need one. I think we all think that they need a burner, a guy who can take the top off of the defense, can catch the ball down the field, and truly threatens the defense so that they can back off of LeSean McCoy and now Chris Ivory.
You think – I mean, who knows? I don't think you have this answer. But do you think do you think they would rather get their receiver in the draft as opposed to a free agent? Economically is what I'm saying.
I think, save some money. Economically, you definitely do. And maybe you can get one of these guys on a one-year deal for a little bit cheaper. I think, yeah, it makes sense economically to get one of those guys. But I think that last year you had a situation, and totally, because I think Zay Jones has the potential to be very good in this league. But he had a tough year.
Yeah.
And I think that was the example of having a receiver coming from college that caught a lot of passes in college, looked very, very good, but then when he got here, it was a tough transition. Some guys can make the transition, others can't. And that's all positions. But the wide receiver position is very, very tricky. And so I feel like in terms of a deep threat, you might want to get that guy in free agency.
Well, we're almost out of time this segment, but what do you mean tricky? Why is a wide receiver position tricky?
Just because the transition is for defensive linemen, guys like that, you know, you can make that transition. Wide receiver, it's a little bit harder because the ball is different. It doesn't have the white lines on it. Quarterbacks are throwing it on time, actually, now. You're not open. The DBs are running the routes for you. You just got to be a lot better in your technique than you were in college. And so some guys, the game just doesn't slow down right away like that. And so you have a season like Zay Jones had this year. And the second year, he could be totally different. But that first year was like, ooh, man, it's hard because the game just seems like it's so much faster. These DBs are like big, tall, physical dudes. They're running the routes. It's like, I'm never open. I feel like I'm never open here. Now, in your second year, your third year, you feel like you're always open. But that's because it's kind of slowed down a little bit, and plus you just want the ball.
You say you're open even if you're
right,
not.
Right, exactly.
We're going to break. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Frank Reich on the show today, former Bills backup quarterback, longtime coach, now the head coach for the Indianapolis Colts. Frank Reich talked to us about being named the Colts head coach a couple of weeks ago.
And then to get a chance to come back to a place where, you know, I started my coaching career. You know, I mean, obviously I started my playing career in Buffalo, so that always remains very special to you. And then, but as a coach, you know, I really started my coaching career here in Indianapolis. So to be able to come back into a building where I know almost everybody in the building. I was here for 4 years prior, and that just makes it pretty special.
Frank Reich, he's coming back to Buffalo in a couple of weeks. We'll tell you why in a minute or so. Also, Chris Ivory joined us earlier this hour, the brand-new running back signed by the Buffalo Bills, and he talked to us about why he chose Buffalo after he was released by the Jaguars last week.
I was glad they were able to release me when they did. That way I was able to get out early and, you know, get this opportunity to come out here and visit. But what got me the most coming here to visit was the vibes were good. I like the vibes and the atmosphere, and it just felt right. It just felt right for me.
Chris Ivory, two-year deal. NFL Network reports that it's a two-year deal worth $5.5 million in base salary, $3.25 million guaranteed in the first year, and can be worth up to $6 million max. That guarantee, $3.25 to you, indicates that he's here next year, right?
Let him go. You can't let him. $3 million? You can't let him go. And I think he's gonna be valuable to this team.
You do?
I do. I think he's going to – this is obviously a different offensive coordinator. But at the same time, they want to use their backup running back. It showed last year. A lot of people were upset every time Mike Tolbert went in the game.
Yes.
If Chris Ivory is healthy, I think you will be satisfied with when he goes in the game.
Yeah, we did. The Tolbert, the love for Mike Tolbert just never got going.
It never. We tried to get it going in training camp, and it just never got going for the fan base.
We talked about Frank Reich. Indianapolis Colts head coach. Had a chance to chat with him last week off the air, finally on the air today. He's coming back to town Saturday, April 14th here in Buffalo at the Hyatt Regency for the Call to Courage Awards breakfast. Saturday, April 14th starts at 9 a.m. DeMario Davis from the New York Jets will be the honored player. You can reserve tickets for that at 559-1800, Frank Reich, and his Call to Courage Awards breakfast. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Thanks to our production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, and our producer, Jay Harris. We're on the air again tomorrow, 12 noon to 3 p.m. You ready for that one, Donald?
I think so.
There'll probably be more NFL news, I would think, tomorrow, right? The way things are coming out quickly.
I mean,
now.
There's some franchise stuff coming out. And who knows? Maybe the Bills will make another move.
Maybe they will. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.